If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
Today on the Daily Show, an authentic New York City cell phone. Why? Mm-hmm. It's 917, baby. Episode 917.
Oh, yeah.
When you can't get a 212, when you can't get a 646.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
You get yourself a 917.
You don't want 646.
646, that's the original fake New York City phone number. It's like, oh.
Yeah, but that number never took off. 917 took off.
Well, 917 was, I think that was mobiles only. Like, 646 is like the New York City landline. We ran out of 212s.
Yeah.
Fucking New
York. Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
Men of our race are still being born with the wrong area code.
Yeah, because it used to be that people would actually pay, no matter where they were, they'd pay for like a 212 or sometimes they'd pay whatever like a one in LA is, like so they could look like they were in that area. But with cell phones, like the 917, they were doing, people doing that with 917, they want that 917.
Mm. 917. What was that shitty Queens area code? I remember a lot of people had
718.
Yeah, 718.
That was Brooklyn. That
Brooklyn
was
and Queens. Too.
Yeah, 718. So yeah, 516.
Oh, 516. I'm Jewish.
Yeah, basically. Yeah,
that's the yeah. Part. Of, well, actually, either one.
That's
what's the other one? 613.
Long Island.
Was it 613? Is the other one? There's in like.
516 is like Nassau County.
516 is Nassau. Suffolk is like 613 or something like that, or six. Yeah,
that's definitely. I'm like 603.
I can't remember.
516 is like I'm probably Jewish, but I could be black or Italian. 613 is like there's 100% chance I'm Jewish.
516 is like I might just be a nigger that like lives here and I just steal things from Jews. Yeah. So 516 is like I spend $3,000 a year on basic liability car insurance. That's what that means.
516 is like my house is the size of a postage stamp and costs $800,000.
But I'm not in the city though.
But I'm not in the city. And I'm close. A good commute. You
got
know?
Out of the city. I'm also completely trapped everywhere I want to go. I'm blocked by either a bridge.
I'm also drowning in debt and surrounded by blacks.
I either need
look at this. How did this happen?
I can't get anywhere without a $13 bridge, tunnel, or ferry.
Oh, my God.
I'm stuck on this landmass.
I can't access the mainland United States.
Yeah, I'm stuck.
without.
God, I lived in Nassau County for about 6 months. Fucking what a nightmare.
I swear to God. Like,
I felt claustrophobic. Whenever, it was so weird.
I got made fun of for being from New Jersey a lot.
Yeah.
And by people from Long Island. I was like, see, you laugh, but I could turn around and I have the whole country.
Yeah, you're stuck.
You are literally stuck on that piece
you have
of shit
like,
island.
You have like the fakest, gayest ocean ever. You have the part of the Atlantic that gets no waves, or you get the Long Island Sound.
And let's be honest. There's in no way your culture is superior to the culture of New Jersey. Like, that's bullshit. It's virtually identical to everyone else in the country. And just, also, like, I get the difference is I get to leave.
Yeah, you can leave New Jersey.
So.
Like, there are ways out of New Jersey that don't require a $13 easy pass.
Oh, yeah, you can just
payment.
Literally turn around and go, the other,
around,
way.
Go the other way.
Wow, look at this wide expanse opening before me.
Yeah. Long Island is it's literally the worst place on earth, I think. It's like.
Yeah,
like,
I would feel the claustrophobia
yeah.
of just knowing I'm trapped on this fucking island.
It's just
island.
Like if there's any kind of like disaster ever comes this way.
Yeah,
boy, the traffic is just going to be.
That's why these people are freaking out about like Indian Point and all that shit.
Being trapped on this island is how I feel in America every day.
Indian Point. Indian Point was over by me.
Oh my God. Yeah, but they would have died, though.
The problem with the Indian... Yeah, they would have been stuck in trap. The part where the Indian Point was like, we're going to test the sirens again. They test the sirens so often. How do I know when it's an actual like nuclear event? Oh, there's never going to be one. Cause it's,
oh,
like,
that doesn't
safest,
ever happen.
This is the safest shit that's ever been developed by man. We got to shut it down, though.
Probably people are just like, can you stop testing the sirens? Yeah. Like, there's
that's
no,
why they shut down the power.
Is it like
no
an
utility.
Air raid siren?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't even know. Yeah, no, they set those off here every time there's a 911 call. It's kind of cool. I like it.
So it's just like constant, like blaring.
No, we don't get that many 911 calls around.
That's the volunteer fireman's like lunch buzzer, isn't it? The whoop, like noon it goes off. I don't think it's quite the same thing. Indian Point had these big; they were just big sirens all over Westchester County, probably Rockland too, because you can see it across the river. I don't know. The river protects Rockland County. They don't need sirens. Just Westchester does.
Yeah, just fill that river with sunflowers. And you're totally set.
Or just
like you could just keep grilling in that park. You know that park right across the river from it?
Oh yeah.
I don't know any of those places.
That's actually a great place to grill. Although
it's right on Hudson River. What is the name of that town that it's in?
Briarcliff?
No, it's not that far south. It's way. Is it Croton? I think it's Croton on Hudson is where Indian Point was.
Something like that. There's like a town with like a.
It's not Ossining. I'll tell you that Ossining is like the nuclear waste. There is just beaners. Indian Point.
I think it was in Pleasantville, maybe.
No, it's way north of that.
Really?
Yeah. Right. Westinghouse 4-loop pressurized water reactor. Can I have the physical address of this place, please? I want to know exactly where this is.
I used to know a bunch of the towns up and down that area for reasons.
I think it's Buchanan. Yeah, it's Buchanan. Buchanan, New York.
Could be. Oh, is it Valhalla?
No. Come on.
Okay. I'm just guessing all the stops up and down the fucking Metro North.
That's
get it.
Valhalla, you're still in like Bill Clinton territory.
I don't know what the hell you people are talking about.
Buchanan, New York.
Stupid towns up and down the fucking
Buchanan,
Hudson River.
Buchanan, New York is a very blue-collar town on the shore of the Hudson River. It's on the eastern shore. That's where Indian Point Power Plant is The governor shut it down 2 years ago.
I'm thinking about that park.
It's
on the other side.
Why are we shutting down power plants?
Because there's been Jewish outrage against the very existence of the plant for ever since it's been opened. Yeah. Because it's going to all these horror stories that never materialize. And oh my God, after 9/11, what if they crash a jetliner into the reactor? It's like, well.
The answer is then the jetliner like is destroyed concrete bunkers and there's damage. Yeah. The answer is
like the shield is damaged, but there wouldn't be a meltdown.
The answer is this thing could take a cruise missile.
Yeah,
because the engineers anticipated that someone might try to do that.
Yeah, basically you need.
And they also anticipated that like actual like military missiles might hit at some point.
Right,
but
the dumb people that want to listen to Jewish hucksters. They don't know that what you need a meltdown and a breach at the same time, which is like just not going to happen.
Yeah, like, unless you're watching 24.
Right.
But I would say also, I think, and we've talked about this before, I think the Jewish angle there is they like the dependence on Middle East oil as an excuse to keep America consistently involved in the Middle East.
Right.
Because if America became energy independent, like people in America would literally be like, wait, why do we care about these Arab problems anymore? Like it's not even like any specific thing. It's just like just keep the interest there. Like, oh yeah, you're gonna have to keep, you know, Saudi Arabia as like second greatest ally. You're gonna have to keep agitating against Iran.
Saudi Arabia is so useful. I mean, anytime somebody does like slip outside of the. Normal politics, like one of the first like basins they fall in is that Saudi Arabia is in charge of the country, and it's always
right. It's very useful to Jews in that way, like because it's acceptable because it is like actually outrageous.
Yeah,
and the United States relationship with Saudi Arabia is actually outrageous, and it becomes a very useful shield for all negative public opinion regarding United States Middle East involvement. It's like, well, these fucking Saudis is brutal. Medieval regime, it's all legitimate criticism, but it's like, but the thing is, like, they're also best allies with Israel. They, the two of them, peas and carrots.
So I was looking to see if there's a trend in shutting down power plants in the United States.
Mm.
And some of the commentary on this is so retarded. Like for example, this paragraph. Electricity producers have announced plans to shutter 99.2 gigawatts coal plants through 2030.
Yeah.
IEEFA said in a report released Monday, another 36.8 gigawatts are scheduled to retire, be converted to natural gas in subsequent years, leaving 82.4 gigawatts of capacity out of closure plans. The report comes as U.S. coal prices topped $100 for the first time in 13 years as Russia's war in Ukraine upends international energy markets. It's Russia's fault that the coal prices are really high.
Right, because Europe actually legitimately stopped importing Russian coal, and now who are they going to get it from?
Oh.
Us.
Oh.
Right? Like, awesome. The United States has always been a coal-producing country.
That's Putin's fault, right?
Right. It's not like, it's not like that was a decision somebody made that could be unmade. That's what I was saying now, like, apparently, even though Saudi Arabia isn't so much second greatest ally so much to us, because they're basically not, they're like rebuffing
Biden. I don't know a whole lot about this infrastructure shit, but so they're developing natural gas fired plants. That's what's happening, is we're converting from coal to natural gas. Like, well,
yeah, why? Like, what's the point? Yeah. From the perspective of carbon, maybe there might be some benefits in terms of like soot or byproducts that are created. I mean, I don't know. I'd have to ask about that. Like, maybe coal creates byproducts that you don't want that are harder to deal with.
Well, yeah, I think it's
gas doesn't.
Yeah, because you do get the fly ash ponds and all that shit with a coal plant.
Right. I mean, always talk about like clean coal. That's because then they're like, remember this own? Oh, you probably think that stuff coming out of the smokestack is pollution. That's just water vapor. It's true. It's an accurate statement. That is not pollution. That is, or unless you think water vapor is pollution, but it is water vapor from the turbines. But there's other byproducts of burning coal that you just don't see. They're like physical byproducts, not like gas. Like, obviously gas is physical, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, but the other thing is, like, if you got a coal-powered plant and it's out in the middle of nowhere, which a lot of them are, does it really matter if you're creating a little bit of particulate? Like, is that such a huge problem?
Well, the problem is if there's blacks that, because of the fact they live in low-income areas, live somewhere near this coal plant, and they're all, like, stupid and retarded, we're just going to blame the coal plant for the blacks being stupid and retarded for some nebulous reason that we can't explain.
That's the view from your park.
Yes, I remember that view very well. It was always fun. We always, like, the whole time you're grilling there, you're like, yeah, oh boy, it'd be terrible.
Where was that?
If we all got nuked, right?
Was it Stony Point?
Cook these burgers up real fast.
Stony Point or Haverstraw? Where the hell is that? I don't know where that is.
Yeah, that sounds right. I don't know, man. Who fucking cares, honestly? I remember that park was shut down for years post 9/11 when they finally reopened it.
Plants. I like them at night when they're all lit up. Kind of cool.
They're great areas for wildlife to, graze around as well.
Right, yeah.
Very good caribou grazing grounds back around those power plants.
Back in so this is like the New York Post's like outrageous coverage. Back in January 2017, the governor claimed that Indian Point was just too dangerous to be allowed to operate. Then Attorney General Eric Schneiderman also chimed in, claiming that shutting down the Indian Point power plant is a major victory for the health and safety of millions of New Yorkers and will help kickstart the state's clean energy future. You mean it will help kickstart?
Yeah, but it helped it. They'll reverse it.
It helped kickstart like the Putin price hike on electricity in New York. Well, I can only imagine.
It was kicked the wheels off the clean energy because it's already clean energy.
Where are these people in a position to even offer any kind of like ideas about the safety of said power plant? Do they know?
Yeah.
Do they know anything about this shit? No. No, they're dumbass politicians.
Oh, yeah, Eric Schneiderman is a Jew. I wonder if it's also, there's an element of this where maybe I'm overthinking it, thinking about the Middle East and stuff. It might just be Jewish paranoia. Like, Jews are just actually afraid of it. Like, oh, God, there's so many Jews. There's millions of, just more Jews live within, like, a 10-mile radius of Indian Point than anywhere else in America. Now, it's such a juicy target for terrorism. It could just be that. It could literally just be that.
It could be. I know that was, but the problem is, like, this stuff all existed before 9/11. I remember when that ramped up after 9/11.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, they were doing it before.
Yeah. They would complain if, like, I don't remember. I just remember like
kind of fringy,
remember Cable News 12, the Cablevision's little news channel. I just remember one of their like bumpers coming back to a show from break or whatever, where they would show these little loops of their own little segments. There was this big-nosed fucking curly-haired Jaime complaining and like he in some kind of bullhorn about somebody from Indian Point claiming that and it claims that an acceptable amount of radiation has been leaked into the atmosphere. And, like, this was the big, like, why it needs to be shut down. I was like, well, he said an acceptable amount, right? That means probably.
Yeah, it could actually be just, like, Jews are just Jewish fucking
paranoia. I just think it's the market manipulation aspect of it. I mean.
Could be all these things.
All these things. I mean, there's been all kinds of. I mean, they've hated this since it was put up. I mean, yeah, they,
for whatever reason, they were absolutely against this.
They used all of their resources against nuclear power plants. They used Hollywood. They used, I mean, they put paranoia throughout the entire green energy movement, not including nuclear power plants.
What's funny is they've actually been highly successful at getting nuclear stuff either shut down or never even started, where the fossil fuels there seem like helpless against, right?
Yeah. Mm.
Like, well, that's because obviously at some point,
because fossil fuels, you're manipulating the markets. You're making a lot of money. You don't actually want that shut down,
right? And additionally, if you shut it down, then the economy just is gone. Like,
it's like not for nothing, but the Putin price hike, as Biden likes to call it. I mean, that's you're just making money hand over fist if you're in the energy industries.
Yeah, especially, and it's also revealed the total phoniness of all this alternative energy crap, because like literally you can't do it. Like, you cannot do it. You cannot do it. And people are talking about, like, the German Green Party is one of the ones that's, like, the most, in Germany, like, the biggest on board with, like, anti-Russia stuff. And, and like, going to the point where they're, like, you know, supposedly this left-wing hippy-dippy peacenik party, which also likes trees and shit like that. But they're, like, blood-curdling warmongers now. You know what I mean?
Which also likes trees.
Whatever. That's... Yeah, you know, it's a Green Party. You figure they like trees, right?
You know what's bad for trees? Artillery. So maybe... Save the trees. End the war in Ukraine, please. Give them back their Donbass. Give Russia its Donbass and stop it.
Yeah. Donbass would be a great pseudonym for somebody.
Donbass. Donbass.
Yeah. But it's like I forgot what the fuck I was talking about. That shit.
Energies, nuclears, all kinds of shit. You know, kind of stuff.
Yeah.
This was the fake portion of the show where we just have a conversation by accident. None of us were thinking about any
of this. Well, like, I mean, I used to be big on this issue, and I used to know all these talking points about, like, why global warming is fake and stuff. I don't have as much enthusiasm for that topic anymore.
Well, the problem is with that is, like, having...
It's
the problem
definitely
is,
still fake.
There's never any good... It's another issue where the people that should be fighting this off don't have any good rhetoric, they don't have any good talking points... If you talk to a conservative, even the very best at it, which was like Rush Limbaugh, if you ask him about global warming, he's going to give you a spiel on free market economics and capitalism. He's got nowhere else to go. And meanwhile, it's like he never mentions that the big oil companies are the biggest investors in green energy. He never brings that up. He just talks about what a burden it is for them. Like, it's just like I probably threw it out.
Because that wasn't always the case. Like, his shit was stuck in, like, the 80s on that. It wasn't always – there was a time when oil companies did heavily lobby against and pay people to lobby – to put out papers and stuff like that countering. Like, there's absolutely proof that they were hiring scientists and researchers to put out papers. Doesn't mean the papers were wrong, but they were getting funded by oil. Yeah.
There was a guy he would refer to as, like, the show's official climatologist. I don't remember his name, but he wrote a book, and like this was heavily – it was recommended that everybody read this book that debunks the global warming thing. And I got it, and it was just basically like Mises Light. The entire thing was about economics, regulation, business, supply. I'm just like I know all these things. Like, I want to know why these things they've come up with what happens in the atmosphere when these gases interact is bullshit. I want to know the science is bad, and they had nothing.
Well, you remember the thing about like all the places where they're reading these temperatures are like contaminated, like they're heat polluted areas.
Oh,
like,
I remember that.
The thermometers are in the middle of parking lots in the middle of like Phoenix.
Yeah. Yes, that stuff is good.
So, this thermometer is really hot. The fact they're on blacktop in the middle of Phoenix.
It's the urban heat island effect. It's like
urban heat island.
What about the urban?
They never had an answer for that either. I never saw the global warming establishment answer that issue. I think it's a totally valid issue.
No, they would just say it doesn't matter and you conservatives don't know anything.
But dude, the earth used to be warmer. I mean, it does go through climate cycles, right? Like the general idea that carbon dioxide is some kind of greenhouse gas and we're warming up there. Well, all we're doing is like returning the earth to a previous state.
Yeah.
If that's the case.
Well, carbon dioxide is just like, here's a great catch all. We've just got, once you got that out, idea out there. And I think it was like, was it the, I don't remember what federal bureaucracy.
I mean, the Earth is just going through climate transition.
What had to happen was like how you have these groups become protected classes. There was an environmental agency. I don't remember. Maybe it was just the EPA. Once you designated carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas, now it's the opposite of a protected class. It's something that you're actively going to regulate forever. So that was the great sham that they got over in this in that movement. They got that done. So
yeah, and it's like, you know, I mean, I could go through all the critiques. Like my main one is like a kind of a tactical nihilism. Like, well, sure, you can see the measurable effects of carbon dioxide as a greenhouse gas in a closed system, but mm-hmm. the Earth isn't a closed system. No. You don't know for sure. Like that, you can't account for all these variables and all, you know. And it's true; it's a valid critique. But yeah, it's like you're so sure that these minute, you know, relative. Also, I never bought the idea that like if the Earth's temperature rises by like 0.2 degrees on average, right. that's disaster. I'm like,
yeah.
why?
Yeah, I've seen that too. Like, what if that just means?
Why would that be? Like,
what if it gets like really
like that would matter at all?
It's like, what if one region gets like really hot? Oh, you know what? Another good conservative clapback was is like, oh, okay, if you get warmer temperatures, certain parts of Europe will have more robust and longer growing seasons. That'll be good.
Europe is already warm. Like compared to America?
Well, it wasn't that it was already warm. It was like the zones in which you could grow certain crops would expand
yeah, no,
southward.
They would have a, but so would theoretically America, which is much actually right. south of Europe and colder.
Yeah. So
because
they would,
of the weather pattern.
But this Europe is another is one. This is one of the great yeah. owns instead of just like ending this, you know, really like fueling people with ways to stop.
I could be wrong like, too about this. This could be wrong. Europeans have to fill me in, but I believe that Europe just has milder temperatures generally because I've been in Germany in the summer, and even though it was like just nice, it was like balmy, mild weather. I didn't get the blastingly hot feeling I get on some days, and I'm sure you get those days in Europe, but like, you know, it wasn't a thing.
Wait. Since we're on the topic of climate change, I've got to find this video clip. But keep talking. Keep
Germany's balance. Like same latitudes as like Maine. It's north of it's isn't like the, north
isn't
of
the,
most.
Isn't the winter pretty harsh though? Pretty cold.
Not really. No, no actually. No? In Maine, once either. You get up to northern Germany and Scandinavia, even then, it's not like it's just like in southern Germany. It's nice, dude. It's very mild. Southern Germany is like fucking beautiful. It's amazing. It's one of the most. It's the most dense. Like the green is like so vibrant. It like pops, like your eyes pop. How green and vibrant everything.
So right
is.
Now, the most important sport on the face of the planet is taking place. It's
oh,
Tour
no.
de France.
I mean, this
oh,
has been a very
no.
long
they were,
stage.
They were doing Stage 10 yesterday.
Oh, no. Great Kraftwerk album.
And there was a surprise.
No, that's awesome.
They got a surprise.
Oh, this Tour de France too, isn't there?
Wait, no. What is it? What was it? What was the? What oh, was there? One about bikes?
The Trans Europe.
Trans Europe Express.
Express.
Yeah.
Transphobic Express.
Wow, it's a 2-minute video.
That was going to be my first parody song. I just never did it.
Go to about 25 seconds.
Now you've done it. Because all you had to do is take the karaoke version.
Fast forward to 25 seconds.
Over. Well, I had the technology to make my own karaoke version. Wow.
Yeah. Still do. There's no point.
I could just do beatbox. All right. How far do you want
to like replay the notes? Yeah.
How far?
Start at 25 seconds.
25 seconds. Look at these homos in their fucking... Hey, who's this guy? What is he wearing? What's this guy in the orange? He's got like a bulletproof vest on. Who is
looks
this
like
dude?
He's cheating. I don't think that's the kind of bike you're supposed
I've
to
I've never
use.
Seen a motorcycle like that before, actually. Like these three-wheel contraptions they've got. Like, when did they start doing that?
I didn't think that was allowed in the Tour de France to have a bike like that.
Well, he identifies as a cyclist.
Wait, he has two wheels on the front and one on the back?
That's like got, a, yeah, yeah. I've never seen it's like a front fork.
I saw some
two, a pair of wheels.
I saw some like really fat people on like a three-wheel like Harley type motorcycle the other day. I was laughing. There's like 2 tons of fun on this fucking
oh, yeah,
three-wheel.
Yeah. It was like
my wife's like, they'll never be able to turn it with their fat asses. That's why they have the trike, the two wheels on them. That's two wheels
those
on the back.
Those low rider trikes, yeah.
Well, it's a low rider when you're fucking 400 pounds each.
Well, also the ones where the handlebars like up here.
Oh,
like,
it wasn't
that's
one of those.
Aren't your arms get tired, bro? Like,
it was one of these. Oh, you got the ape hangers, they call those, right? Anyway,
yeah, I guess you could just.
So what's gonna happen here? Where are we got here? Let's.
So this guy is broken away from the peloton.
This is Bob Jungles.
Out there,
this is
way
Bob
ahead
Jungles?
Everybody.
Okay.
Watch what happens though.
He's getting water.
Nope.
Oh, that's just his crew.
This
okay,
is probably what's happening, Phil, is that some protesters, that is so dangerous.
What are they protesting?
That's insane.
Climate.
That's just,
they're climate protesters.
Just amazing. For the people.
But, like, bicycles aren't bad for the...
That's what I said. Riders. Like, are you going to protest a sailboat race?
Excuse me? They're raising awareness.
Of how, like, annoying and stupid they are. People hate this
well,
shit.
Absolutely. apparently they've been gluing themselves to the road in Britain. Like, that's been a thing that they've been doing. Like, literally gluing themselves to the asphalt.
I can't wait to, like, take power and just mow these people down with gunfire. That's what well, you have to do. Is, like, you're not allowed to protest anymore.
Once you, like, dry up the Jewish funding for this crap, because all of this stuff is funded by Kikes, it's just like it goes away. And the reason it happens is because, like, basically Jews are like, oh, there's some, like, youth that want to do political activism. Let's give them something really dumb. Okay, glue yourself to the street.
Apparently, in Britbong land, they've made that illegal. Like, gluing yourself to the highway is
they've
now,
actually,
like,
yeah.
They have to create a law about it.
You got a license really... for that Gorilla Glue? Don't worry, I don't have a firearm. I can't actually enforce anything.
One thing I've noticed is, remember that, what was that, that protest movement that was totally astroturfed a few years ago?
I remember exactly what you mean, the green protest movement over there. Fuck.
That was totally Jewish. I forget what it was even called. It wasn't like...
They had to stop the entire race because of these faggots.
Yeah, yeah. And everyone hates you now more. Like, you basically did anti-propaganda. Like, you made everyone hate you.
My thing is, like, if you had some balls, why wouldn't you protest an F1 race? I mean, they're using combustion engines.
But look how... Look, are you afraid of getting killed? Look at the beautiful...
You get killed by a goddamn cyclist. A Peloton going 60 miles an hour.
Like.
Now we don't know who the fastest endurance bicyclist is. We'll never know.
It's still fucking obnoxious, dude. The bike race...
Actually, what they do is they stop everybody and they keep track of the time spread, like the time gaps. Believe it or not...
Oh, they figured out a way to compensate for this?
Yeah, that makes sense.
They've
been doing this race for a very long time. They got it all figured out. It's not the first time they have protesters out
there. How do they compensate for the guy with, like, the performance-enhancing drugs, with the one testicle?
I don't do that anymore.
Oh.
No, that's just fine. I mean, whatever.
What is the awareness raising? Like, what are we becoming aware of here?
Just be aware of what douchebags they are.
Just be aware that we're obnoxious pieces of shit.
Yeah, I'm aware that you suck. You didn't have to do this.
It's like, be aware that, like, you can't have nice things ever because there's a Jewish protest group out there ready to ruin anything you want to do. Especially just like
right.
Just
I forget what that new one that they launched a few years ago was. They were going wild in London. Like, they tried to pull one off in New York City and they got shut down really fast. Like, they haven't been as successful in America with that stuff, but in Europe there's actually been more stuff, like more of that environment. Like, they were successful with it in the late aughts and then it died, but then they picked it back up.
Extinction Rebellion?
Yeah, that was it. That was big in the UK, and it was extremely stupid and gay. They tried to do an Extinction Rebellion in New York City, and the police just, like, get the fuck out
of
here.
It's like Jewish extinction versus protesting.
Well, the funny thing is, it's like you actually go to the heart of in world Jewry and finance, and the police are like, yeah, it's, no, stop. You're not going to do this here. You're not going to do this shit here. There have been people that have tried to do that blocking traffic shit in Manhattan.
When is this?
They get fucking tackled by the police, at least until recently, as far as I know. It could be that anything goes in New York now, but I have seen personally with my own eyes hippies start to try and do some shit like that, and police just do, like, diving tackles at them to get them out of the street.
So,
like, really, actually quite rough.
April,
and then they start fucking crying.
There's another thing, too, right? They go in museums, they glue themselves to shit. I forgot about that. This is what they did here.
I have April 9th, 2022. Supporters of environmental activist group Extinction Rebellion have taken part in a mass sit-down protest in the heart of London's shopping district. Several thousand demonstrators with multicolored flags bearing the group's extinction symbol gathered near Marble Arch on Saturday morning as samba bands warmed up.
With samba bands?
Why were there samba bands in London?
Were they just going to be playing music on the side of the...
Well, maybe they're protesting immigration. Like, they're gonna. Then they moved to Regent Street and Oxford Circus. They got a circus there?
They're protesting, like, Tito Puente?
So, is the Oxford Circus near the Oxford comma? Is that, like, nearby? You have to pause?
It's several Oxford commas in a circle.
It's like you go to the Oxford comma, you pause for a second, and then you're at Oxford Circus, where they sat down in the road, disrupting traffic through central London, and called for an end to investment in fossil fuels. A number of protesters in Oxford Street and Regent Street are sitting in the road, blocking traffic in both directions, the Metropolitan Police tweeted. Traffic diversions are being put in place. Oh, why don't you just crack some skulls and move them? I want to set up a detour here. These white people aren't trying to protect themselves from like brown rape gangs, so we can't hurt them. We can't do it. We can't do anything to stop them. We can only stop you if you're like talking about our Muslim rapist friends. Metropolitan Police said that most of the demonstrators subsequently moved to Trafalgar Square, resulting in traffic diversions. The protesters sat down in a road on the edge of what? Well, I thought "Don't Sleep in the Road" was for ABOs. Like, now it's for, like, Londoners, like white London people who we don't. It's like we don't notice we're becoming a minority in our own historic city, so we'll become an annoying environmental group.
Well, they've noticed. It's just that, like, this again, is what we're gonna do about people it. That go to these places, you know, the people that still live there. This is like. This is just like entertainment.
This is the other thing that they've been doing. This is some real
Extinction Rebellion, also known as XR. Oh man, that's edgy. Promise before
is that
Saturday,
like an XR protest?
Yeah,
an XLR protest.
They promised that they would grind the Capitol to a
halt. The L is for loser. Extinction Loser Rebellion.
Sticky problem. All right, so this is, so they've glued themselves.
You probably use XLR cables to like drag these people.
So
out
So they're
of
glued
street.
To the floor here. That's what I'm supposed to.
Like
150 pound person, like this skinny guy right here, like I don't think the glue would hold him if you just like tugged a little bit.
Why can't you glue yourself to shitty art? Like, why don't you go like glue your ass cheeks to like the Whitney Biennial?
Did they cut this
painting? Like paint your ass cheeks with Gorilla Glue and slap them on like a fucking.
All right. Did they slice this painting? Is that what I'm looking at? These white gaps in the middle of this painting?
Yeah, I'm wondering because that would be quite the vandalism. Yeah, it looks like they did. Looks like they took a razor to the painting.
They caused some disruption to the surface of the varnish on the painting and minor damage to its frame. So they're destroying art.
Dude, it looks to me like they took a razor blade straight down.
Apparently, insufferable groups have been doing this for over a century now, though. Because in this same article, and this is really funny, in 1914, the suffragist Mary Richardson walked into the National Gallery with a hatchet concealed in her muff.
Oh.
And then she slashed some paintings.
That was before shaving was a thing.
She had a hatchet in her hatchet wound.
That's even grosser than what I said. That's pretty funny.
This is just the thing is like this shit is just like this is just entertainment for like
what also
like bourgeois kids. Like
what also just, gives like if you're a normal person you hear about these things and it's just humiliation and disillusionment with the whole, like, we can't even, like, the people in charge, like, won't even defend my culture from things. Like, let's just face, like, white people have art.
It feels like a lot of it's just, like, a
white people have bicycle races. White people know how to supply, like, air conditioning energy so they don't have to swelter in the heat all summer. It's like...
Well, how come they don't ever go and glue themselves out in front of the fucking immigration wall? Because that's the real cause of fucking pollution.
Yeah.
You know, go glue yourselves to the Mexican border.
Yeah, you want less people, right?
Right. That's the biggest pollutant.
Less carbon
people. Literally. All you like bored ass, like petty bourgeois or children of the bourgeoisie who need something to do and BLM is like kind of a dead thing now or coming back or who knows what. Like you're doing this stupid shit or you just want to go cause trouble, just cause mischief for fun because you're like, you're bored and rich. Go glue your ass to the fucking Mexican border. Help the environment that way.
It really is amazing watching all these libtards in here just protesting this dumb shit, doing really obnoxious
crap. They just want to protest shit. Dude, there's a type of libtard that just likes to do it. Like, because it does, like I said, it's entertainment for the children of the upper middle class.
That members of your race, it's okay for people to brutally rape and kill them all the time.
No, because they agree. Generally speaking, they would agree with that, or they would not even know how to respond to you saying that.
Hmm.
You know? Or they would just say, like, well, what's funny is somebody who, like, ruins a painting and glues themselves to, like, you know, a priceless painting, or maybe, you know, maybe it's got a price to it, whatever, to a classical painting like that, they would deface and glue themselves to artwork and cause a nuisance. Would be like, I could never... say that because of social respectability. I could never advocate for white people because that's just not socially respectable.
That's bad optics right there. But right. Me like gluing myself to a Van Gogh, that's fine.
Yeah,
just raising awareness.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, the other thing that I saw while we were talking is that there's a Jewish group that is protesting. Not just protests. They have joined the ACLU in a lawsuit against Ohio's heartbeat bill. So this is some of that abortion fallout. But the money quote here is pretty funny. That for me, being Jewish teaches me that not only do I believe in access to abortion, but I believe the rights that exist and the views that people have, they have a right to have.
What about, like, people that are against it? Or what about people that are just pro-white? Like, do that right?
No.
The thing is, though, I'm pretty sure that you can't really use your religion as an excuse to child sacrifice, right? That's
if you're Jewish, you can.
Well, the other thing is, they're lying, because they don't do this in Israel.
Well,
so I would say
if I could just stop you for a second, what he's flexing on is the thing that we always say. He is showing, he's letting his Jewish privilege show proudly.
Yeah.
It's like if when all else fails, if something doesn't go your way, you can fall back on, well, my Jewry says that I need access to this right, and everyone has to stop and listen and be like, oh, geez, the Jews are saying that this is like a denial of Judaism. We better think twice about the error of our ways here.
What's interesting is if you were to say, like, my Christianity is why I'm against this.
Right.
Or like, even say I'm against this because I'm, like, a white nationalist and I don't want, like, white children to be aborted or something like that, right? It wouldn't be a one-to-one comparison. It's not a religion, but, of course, whatever. The point being, some kind of religious claim to, I believe in the soul of the unborn because I'm Christian. This would get no respect.
No.
Yet, for some reason, when Jews invoke their quote religion,
you could be widely mocked for your belief in Sky Daddy.
This is supposed to be taken seriously, and it's also something that has because of the way Jews always frame this issue. Other people are literally supposed to nod their heads and take it more seriously if it's Jews are saying this is part of like our belief system, because through their own media control, they've just given their own belief system like unwarranted clout.
Clout.
And I'm like, but you're I actually believe you, Jews, when you say killing the young of an enemy group is part of your religion, because I've read the book of Exodus. I believe that this is part of your religion. I've read the book of Esther as well. I totally believe that, like, the mass murder of the children of an enemy tribe is part of your fundamental core belief. You don't have to convince
me. That is an interesting phenomenon where they're the only group that's allowed to just say, well, as a Jewish person, as part of my religion, this thing, you got to respect it. Because you don't get to do that as a Christian.
Well,
you can try it.
You can, but you're not going to get the respect.
You're not going to get anywhere.
Well, it's like Christian. Right. If you're a Christian, anything informed by that is just like your backwards repressive belief. But Judaism, that's not backward. Right. That's just, whoa, easy there. Well, if you don't like this, gas chambers are coming.
Point of privilege, though. You can invoke Christian beliefs if you're talking about my Christianity tells me
to do Jewish
trans
things.
Rights.
Yes.
My Christianity tells... the funniest thing is the Judeo-Christian stuff that a lot of conservatives do feels to me like a rather desperate attempt to access this privilege structure.
Absolutely.
It's just like a failed... It's a rather obvious, embarrassing, and failed attempt to kind of ham-fistedly access the structure of privilege that they see other people invoking. And they always are like, hey, Jews, like Rod Dreher and Andrew Marantz, right? Where Rod Dreher is saying, you know, in Budapest, the Jewish quarter is safe because we don't have all these anti-Jewish, you know, meaning like non-white Muslim immigrants coming in, therefore the Jews can in the Jewish neighborhood can walk the streets safe. Now, Marantz, if he was going to answer, I'd be like, yeah, well, in the fucking Pale of Settlement in the shtetls, the Jews could walk the streets safe as well. The problem is you're trying to keep out George Soros, major Jewish financier, and like Jewish finance capital, Jewish education, and Jewish media from your country. We don't give a fuck about like whether Jews in, like, you know, their stupid black robes and crap, their dumbass, you know, outfits that they wear, can walk the streets of like some little Jewish quarter safely. We want to control your fucking financial and political and media system. And if you're not letting us do that, the safety of a few thousand Jews in this like diminished Jewish quarter in Budapest, which they used to call it Judapest, not so much anymore. I was reading a book. That's what some Nazis used to call it. That is a gag. Budapest. But it's not anymore. And you know, you have to thank for that. So it's like that's what Marantz just doesn't say anything. He just like kind of snickers at Rod Dreher. It's like implying that like we give a shit about. I mean, they probably on some level do, but it's not more important than the fact of trying to block like Jewish finance and education and all that shit, right? So trying to access the Jew, even like the way they access Jewish ethnocentrism or appeal to it, be like, look, we're doing something to keep this Jewish neighborhood really safe. And that's the other thing. It also shows how conservatives think, because he doesn't think in terms of like a Jewish power system that Hungary is, well, not, is just not fully integrated into. It's not like totally oppositional to it, but it's definitely not fully integrated into it. And it's actually opposing it in some ways. So it's not satisfactory. But the scope of how conservatives look at this is tiny, like Jews being just like safe to walk the streets in the Jewish quarter. That's not what they're going for anymore, my friend. Mm-hmm. In fact, they would be willing to give that up, or the appearance of giving that up, in favor of the actual global Jewish financial power system fully penetrating this country. Because they'll get that too anyway then, right? Because they'll just have massive state resources applied to that area while also having control, you know, just like what happens in America.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. It's I guess the other thing too, if you're a Christian and you try to do the bit where, well, you know, as a Christian, what that's actually going to do is provoke a bunch of libtarded and Jewish articles about how your religion is a problem, and yeah, how your beliefs are backwards and fascistic, yeah, and all of this. Like, you will actually get critiques directed at you if you are using your Christianity to support something they don't like. But that doesn't seem to ever happen to Jews. I can't recall a single occasion where I've read an article in the mainstream that was ever critical of Judaism on the grounds that it's repressive or backwards.
No. And all this, the funniest thing is that the repressive and backwards elements of Christianity are like the parts most directly inherited from Judaism.
Most Jewish, it's the most Jewish parts.
Right, like the New Testament doesn't really have any of that mean stuff in it, right?
How long have atheists talked about like the Old Testament as being like this barbaric, awful shit?
Dude, you
like,
want to shut up an atheist? You seriously, you want to shut an atheist down? Just tell them, like, yeah, I hate all that Jewish stuff. I've done it and gotten kicked out of atheist groups. Remember when that happened?
Yeah.
We started just pressing that this was on the Jewish issues and start talking.
That's really funny, right? It's like, well, no. See, we can criticize this Jewish religion if white people are the ones that are doing it. We can't actually go, if the original race, the Jews, are doing it, we can't say anything about it.
Dude, can you imagine? You know. Can you imagine if there was some crazy one of these lunatic Christians we think were actually Jews, sect started doing like the mitzvah, like the sucking, the baby dick chopping, sucking. if they started doing that. Like, not just the chopping, people do the chopping, but if they started doing the sucking, the biting and sucking, like, can you imagine? Like, what kind
federal
of
federal investigation?
Well, I don't even know, because I think it would actually be, now, I don't recommend anybody do it, but it would be an interesting thing to observe if there was a Christian sect that tried to start doing this. Because because a lot of people don't know about this. So if you are, I mean, I think awareness of it has increased through memes and stuff like that. And it's a thing Jews never want to talk about, because they know how disgusting it is and how much people are just like immediately put off by it. And particularly you hear about it and you don't quite believe it, but then you see, you can easily access pictures of it. And then it's like, yeah, that's what they don't. That rabbi is biting that baby's dick. That's what is happening. Yes.
You can find some discussion about how this is medically bad.
Oh yeah, you can, but it's purely, it's very contained, and it's very contained within
very isolated
Jewish, like what they consider to be very controlled conversations between Jews. Like the New York City Health Department, which is run by Jews, has gone back and forth with these communities on this in an effort to also for them to stop generating stories by having, like, you know, 3-month-old babies die of herpes.
Right.
Because that's another problem. When that happens and that gets out, it happens. It happens several times a year. When that happens and that gets out, then it's like it looks bad. And so they have to kind of do what they can. And so they've tried to do this. But only New York City had the ability to do anything, because it's run by Jews. So they can actually have some dialogue with these communities that do this. But I don't even know what would happen, because it would be so strange. Because the thing was, if you were to tell like libtards about it, though, what you would get would be them launching into crazy invective against the people doing this. It might be a fun experiment just to tell them that Christians do this, But then they would probably ask for proof, and since Christians don't do it, even the worst sects of Christianity don't do this. As far as I know, there might actually be some crazy "I think I'm Jewish" sect of Christianity that does this. I don't know. I haven't seen it. As far as I know, it doesn't exist. I would challenge those super. Sure. I would challenge though. What's his face? What's that guy's name that Meraki was talking about? Huckster, the super pro Jewish pastor that he was talking about on the Merchant Minute last week, who I looked into a little bit. That guy is wow. That guy is so fucking bad.
I forgot his name.
Oh, it's like I think he was like H-U-C-H. Pastor Huck. Let me just look that up and see what I get. Yeah, I think it's something like that. And he was so bad. I would like just fucking troll him and be like, yo, do you do the mitzvahs? Yeah, Larry Huck is, or Hutch. Larry Hutch, H-U-C-H. It's a weird way of spelling it. It's Huck or Hutch, I guess.
So on the fly here, I typed in Judaism is backwards. Didn't get anything. Typed in Christianity is backwards. And I found an article. It was on Tikkun.org, Jewish website, talking about backward Christian soldiers. And it's basically somebody complaining about the evil racism and backwardness of evangelicals.
Right, but where are they getting that from?
Yeah. And it's literally on a Jewish website.
Yeah. Yeah. But the problem is, like, what they would say then, if you actually confront them.
Are they just, like, racist against, like, blacks or Mexicans or something? They love, because we know they love Jews, those people.
Oh, yeah, they love Jews. But what if you were to confront a Jew, but that doesn't ever, that's unrequited. I've never seen such unrequited love affair in my life. But if you were to confront the Jew that wrote this, yeah, but you're accusing these evangelicals of being backwards, but the place that they're getting the inspiration for their backwardness from is your Jewish scriptures. What do you have to say about that?
Yeah.
Oh, they're misinterpreting it.
Right.
Really? Because it seems to me that the killing the infant sons of all of your enemy tribe, like, that's pretty clear cut. Like, I'm not, like, what are they getting wrong specifically?
I'm not really confused by that sort of.
I think I grasp. Go in depth. I'd be like, can you elaborate? What specific?
I grasp the full. What's being misinterpreted here? The full scope of what the kind of message that sends and everything, and also like what it actually does to that tribe. Like, there's a whole. There's layers of the effects on your enemies that has, and that you're trying to put out there. Like, this is what you do. Backward.
Right. But I would just be like, if you're saying that they're misinterpreting these passages and applying them wrong, well, can you elaborate on that? Can you be very, very, very specific on how? And what does it mean to you? What, you know, because Passover to me, you know, I know about how the Jews celebrate that, and it seems to me that they're just dancing on the graves of their enemies. I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
So they're exactly what they're doing.
Right. Like, you know, maybe I'm misinterpreting. But it seems like you're just feasting over the dead bodies of the children of your enemies. That's just what it seems to me.
Why are there always dancing Israelis every time something bad happens?
Yeah,
there's more dancing Israelis.
Dancing Israelis is a very old meme. It's not even like it's good. It predates 9/11 by a lot.
When I look at their writings, a lot of times it seems that they have an enemy tribe. Enemy tribe has religion. They have a god they worship, and then Jews declare that god to be literally Satan.
Just like illegitimate. Like you're just not allowed to. Yeah, sorry. Yeah.
They don't seem to get along very well with their neighbors. They have a very totalizing worldview.
Yes. It's very odd for a group as small actually, as them to demand as much control as they do. Yeah.
Like a lot of this history in other ethnic groups and cultures, they would just kind of accept the idea that, okay, well, we have our gods and they have their gods, and all of these things can exist at the same time. Not Jews.
Yeah, or even if you don't like it, you just... It's not. It's too expensive. It's too cold. You can't do anything about it. Like if Christians and Muslims, it's like, all right, well, I guess maybe there's a conflict there, and maybe on the peripheries where these two places meet, there's going to be some problems. But generally speaking, like on a world level, like neither one can beat the other, so you just have to live with it, right? And as long as people stay in their zones, it doesn't even really fucking matter.
What can you do?
Because the kind of person who really actually wants to, like, totally wipe out or conquer, like, another religion for their own faith is just not actually all that common.
Right.
It's just really not.
Yeah, it is a very totalizing way to look at the world. It's very extreme.
typically what would happen is though that people wouldn't go like global. They just try, and Christians definitely did this early on, is they wiped it out in their own backyards. Like, you know, paganism is, you know, yeah, suppressed in their own area. But no, that's a, you know.
I think that Jewish synagogues should be replaced by temples to Baal.
Well, my thing is, if it was so based for the Christians to go,
that's the program that I want to push forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, why not just replace it with churches, right? Like, if it was so based
No. I've picked a very specific God.
Well, the one thing that's going to insult them the most, right?
Yes.
But in fact, the thing is, though,
I'm going old school here. We got to.
It's not even really. If you think about it, historically, that's not even that. They wouldn't care about that now, because that tribe is dead. Like, the Baal was a god of I'm sure they've long since genocided the Baal worshippers, right? Like, so it's kind of like not really Baal. I mean, we did that like 3,000 years ago. We got rid of those people. What are you doing? You know, so like, it would be kind of weird, but it's like, they're like, nah, today it's like, we're getting rid of, you know, like white people. That's, if you know, it's, now it's like Robert E. Lee. How dare you make a statue to like Robert E. Lee or Hitler,
yeah,
or just anything, you know? But yeah, I had a thought for a second there, which I would say, like, okay, for Christians, here's the question, like, because a lot, you get a lot of these trad Christians and stuff, and they're like, yeah, paganism should be wiped out and crushed. And you see this kind of chest thumping rhetoric from Christians on this stuff. I'm like, all right, we'll just do it to Jews then. It's a heretical religion.
I pledge before, right?
They literally deny the fucking, they deny the Son of God. Like, that's, and that is a key, element of their worldview.
I mean,
so just all your energy that you took to take out European pagans, just do it to them. Yeah. Or else I don't really take it seriously, frankly. If you're not going to at least advocate for it, I don't take you seriously.
Frankly, the Jewish religion would be a much better target for you. It's not like pagans are really doing anything.
Well, the fact that you destroyed paganism means obviously
it
wasn't a threat to you. Judaism keeps beating you over and over again, so I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. So this is all funny things. But yeah, I mean...
I do think it's kind of funny that you'll see people getting very hysterical about things like Moloch and Baal and this, that, and the other. I'm like, yeah, those are just gods of tribes that Jews had conflicts with.
Right.
That's all that is.
Yes. And, you know, when you go back to like Moloch.
You're not, it's like, you're not sacrificing children to Moloch. You're sacrificing them to Black Rock. Just like, update your shit.
Oh, very good. It's like,
This is what happened.
Well, it's not.
Here's another strategy I see out there that sort of obscures. The conflict we have with Judaism is like to try to say that like it's not enough to just be in the materialist world. It's like, so the exit down the highway you've moved is like you've surrendered, the materialist world is run by, like, what, that's what we're trying to like do here. So you go into this like the spiritual world and you start talking about Moloch and all this stuff that's just like, I get it, but no, it's BlackRock, it's Vanguard, it's
like
Zionism.
It's like meme spiritual world, and it's like, you're playing a role-playing game is what's happening.
But the problem is your moral framing on these things is created by Jews.
Right.
Like, you're talking about Moloch and Baal and whoever, like, all of these are Jewish creations.
But it's
like
the
framing of it's Jewish.
But like the real shit here is the capital and the influence they have over things. And that's in the material world that you can put together some kind of collective organization to smash and put an end to, you know, without, you know,
nobody's really worshiping Moloch. Now that's an insult that people use to say either they're sacrificing children in rituals or they worship like money or something like that. Right. It's Moloch. Right. People use it like that.
Currently there are no Baal worshipers. There's no real Moloch worshipers. That shit isn't even real anymore.
So the thing is, I would say is like, so do you want to play a role-playing game where you have you're working in like a high fantasy invented universe with different gods and enemies and factions like that?
But the bad guys are already always defined as bad by Jews.
Well, if you project your Aryan vril into the spirit world and you do that and you defeat Moloch on that realm, like, do all the single family dwellings like revert back to their rightful white owners in the United States, or does like BlackRock still own them all? I mean, let's get serious here.
Yeah, and additionally, I would say this: like, if you like playing on like a lot of this on this moral religious plane or whatever, and that I'm not even saying no to that. What I'm saying is, when you're using these outdated things and you're talking about Moloch or this or that, like these ancient gods that have long since the worshippers of them have been genocided or whatever, you're inserting these things, and supposedly Moloch is a representative. It's like a meme, a representative of certain bad values, sacrificing children or worshiping money. Fine. But why not just say Jews then? Because it's like the Moloch thing is just a transient thing. Like, that was an ancient god that the sect that worshiped that is long gone. So it's not a real issue.
Yeah.
And presumably, if you're Christian, you don't believe that god ever actually existed. So it's not like it's some you thought it was a fake thing from the beginning that people did evil in the name of. So that's done. That's gone. Now people are doing the same evil. Who are they? Why, instead of playing this role-playing game, this RPG high fantasy with like new, like, you know, because it almost feels like you just like it because it's like sounds old and kind of cool and Dungeons and Dragons-y or, you know, like fantasy, like oh, this evil god, we're going to take him out or whatever. But it's like, no, but that, why not just talk about the people that are embodying those values that supposedly are represented by this ancient deity or phony deity today? And it's Jews that are doing it. Like, it's Jews that are running the child sex trafficking. It's Jews that are the ones that are doing the usury. It's you know, so, you know, you could, and but the problem is when you say they're worshippers of Moloch, that's just confusing because it doesn't, because it's very easy for a Jew to say that not only are they not, that that's their ancient enemy. So you're just letting them off the hook.
Yeah, there's so much of that in this type of discourse because people also do this with Marxist. Calling things Marxist, and I'm like, it's just another way of doing it.
Moloch to Marx, it's the same. Yep. It's another way of like just renaming the same old thing.
Yeah, you're trying to communicate to me that you don't like this thing, and you're trying to smear it with a label. But your label, if people take it seriously, they're going to be highly confused as to what the fuck you actually mean. Because if you, right. For example, if you say that like. This neoliberal global policies and BlackRock is Marxist. What?
Yeah, that just sounds
very dumb. It's a Marxist agenda? Agenda 230? Yeah. It's some kind of Marxist. What?
Additionally, the other thing you do when you do that is you leave the door open for actual Jews to come in and like gatekeep your shit. They'll send people in to lead your dumb thing. Because I see a ton, I'm seeing increasing numbers of like Jews and like Jew adjacent and Jew friendly, particularly on the right, people loving this cultural Marxist and all these euphemisms because it's not pointing the finger at them.
No.
So they can get out in front of it and just cultural, point the finger at whatever like Gentiles that
cultural
they want.
Marxism, like, it's them. Cultural Marxism is the most hilarious misnomer for things that are going on that I've ever seen.
Yeah.
It is like,
they want you fighting concepts rather than people.
Call it anti-white.
Well, it's just not a concept. It's just an outdated, it's like cultural Marxism. Like, what does it even mean, dude?
Well, it's like CRT.
Yeah.
Like, what is it? Fake. Why don't you say anti-white? Like, why don't it's you anti- make it concrete? Like, why is this abstraction? Why this level of abstraction? It's like you're covering their own ass because they're actually afraid of the consequences of fully advocating for these things. You don't like it. Anyone that says they don't like, you could, anybody that goes on the CRT thing, like, I don't blame someone who bandwagons on it because that's what they've heard, but talk to any one of those people and be like, yeah, these people hate whites. They'll be like, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
So why is the word there you're being given to talk about this CRT?
Yeah, why muddy the waters?
Cultural
and
Marxism.
Why not just talk about it directly? And it makes it harder for the people doing it too.
Cultural Marxism is great because it relates to all the disgusting like faggotry and gender bullshit that's out there and also like race, you know, race equality and all this bullshit. And it's great because it invokes communism and thus enables the capitalism that makes all this stuff possible. The capitalism that the Jews use to push all this stuff. It basically extols that as virtuous while ignoring the fact that that's fucking responsible for all of it. Like your gay Jewish corporate capitalism is what's doing the faggotry, the anti-family shit. And it's also like every time like somebody comes up, okay, what can we do to stop this stuff? And you're like, oh, that wouldn't be – that goes against our free market principles. I just don't want to be forced to – I don't think that anyone should be involved. I just don't want to shove down my throat.
Anytime somebody asks somebody what the fuck cultural Marxism is, they're like, well, this group of things I don't really like.
Yeah.
Well, the capitalism itself is it's been corrupted by the communism and the Marxism. That's the problem.
Or
we got to get the communism and Marxism out of it.
Or communism and capitalism are both just as Jewish and just as bad for you. It's just that they went with one over the other, and now they've got you psyoped into loving capitalism because you're a fucking rube.
Well, here's another funny thing. Think about this for a second. So capitalism is a system that's supposedly infallible in certain ways. Yet it's been corrupted in this particular way by a group of people.
If capitalism was so great, how come you can never boycott anything to get what you want? How come you never win anywhere, no matter what you want?
You're saying that, like, the exclusion of a certain type of group of people from the market would make these corruptions not happen, right? So why not just say who those people actually are?
You can't divide us up by race. That's got...
Because the people that actually control the markets. That's why you don't say it. I mean, that's what it is.
I just like asking these people about, like, what about Disney? Disney is like,
it's definitely cultural Marxism at Disney. Absolutely. Yeah, like, cultural Marxists taking over Disney.
Yeah, but where's the
faggots, queers?
Well, where's the part? Well, my thing is with capitalism, like, where's Disney hurting? Because they're not giving you what you want and you're the audience. They're not. Not hurting. Doing great.
I think that boycott shit, nobody even buys that anymore. You just bitch now.
Why doesn't it have an effect? It's like you're boycotting over whatever dumb movie they made where they put gay black characters. Like, they're just making the next gay black movie for you to watch, and they're just going to do it, and it's going to be fine because they're like a gigantic corporation, and they're immune to your like pathetic little mute. Like, oh, please,
yeah, you have boycott. To take it over. The same way that like you can't do Getter or Parler. Like you have to do a hostile takeover of Twitter. Like that's what you have to do, a hostile takeover of these things and change them. It's the only way, and that's hard. I'm not saying that's easy, but it's the only. You're never gonna do. Let's make our own. Because I guarantee you, there's probably are things that are doing. Let's do conservative oriented like kids cartoons. It's probably doing it. There's probably I know there are some places that do this, and it's usually Christian things, and they have like the Christian cartoon shows, and they're usually actually kind of cringe. But it doesn't. It's not getting any mass penetration into the public consciousness. Like there are absolutely like Bible stories in cartoon form that you can show. We used to watch them at church even when I was a kid. But that stuff doesn't, first of all, is that even, you want more than that, just that too. You want this in a greater context because you're not like a shepherd. So like you need, it would be helpful to have something to guide you in your life these days. But
I had another dumb, edgy, anti-capitalist thing to say. I forgot what it was.
Oh, sorry.
It's going to be really good, too. Fuck. I love doing that. I forgot what it was. Disney. Trans characters. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my thing is, like, I'm even willing to test your theory that without the certain types of people corrupting capitalism, it can work. I'm like, okay, well, fine. So which people? Oh, they're the Jews. Okay, just get Jews out of capitalism, see how it runs. I'd be willing to give it a shot at least.
Well,
just you know, A/B
testing. Well, getting the Jews out of capitalism, it wouldn't be capitalism anymore because
then what you'd have is like
the sort of things people don't like about capitalism. Like you'd have a bunch of white guys like, yeah, we gotta stop this from.
They just make that shit illegal. Yeah.
You can't do that. Like, there's going to be no more, like, Jewish capitalism is basically, like, it's like you take bureaucrat gang style, like, misinterpretation of the rules, and you just apply it to your marketplace, and then you have...
It's like, just like caveat emptor across the board. Oh, you want to complain? Well, here, you've actually hurt me by doing it.
Yeah. What, Alex?
I would rather have the starting point be, we have a group of people, let's say Celtic Europeans, my little group. Mm-hmm. And we are a people, and we need to make sure that everything else is in service of our interest.
Right.
Like our interest should not be subordinate to capitalism.
Yeah, and you're not allowed
to be subordinate to the GDP.
Yeah, and you're not allowed.
Yeah, why are we putting abstract concepts above our group survival?
And you're not allowed to call my phone about my car's warranty ever again under pain of death.
See, Alex, the Jews have actually beat you to the punch on this. Stryker and I were talking about, and you might be interested in this, if you read an essay getting increasingly influential is Carl Lowenstein. Yes, he's Jewish. Militant liberalism. where he's critiquing fascism and national socialism, and also talking about how basically basically it's not focused on a program. It's focused on taking power with like vague assertions to some kind of group belonging and claims of representation of this group outside of
it's not vague. It's not.
Well,
vague.
I understand. This is their critique. This is their critique.
I have three white kids. I'm white. We're all white. We exist. We are very tangible. We're real.
Right. So the claim is that its only purpose is to seek power. Mm-hmm. It uses a vague claims of group belonging and claims of representing this group through like dictatorial power rather than actual what they claim is like actual representation through like parliamentarianism or democracy where you get like in supposedly some kind of representation there or something. But then says that like but because of these groups that attack liberalism, democracy, based on these vague claims of like national belonging or community belonging, that they can, of course, the implication being they can't really back these claims up. They're stupid. They're made up. They're simply an excuse because these are just greedy people that want power. Never mind the fact of, well, what do the people in power now want? And then they say we have to then not actually allow people like this access to the institutions that we say are vital for functioning democracy. It's sort of like that, the paradox of tolerance, Karl Popper, but militant liberalism. But it's sort of funny because then they say like, we can only combat this single-minded focus of national socialists and fascists on taking power by having a single-minded focus on liberalism, retaining power and using any means necessary to exclude them from it. So I'm like, okay, so then literally you're just not different.
Gotta become fascist to stop the fascists.
It's not
but
different
they
at
would
all,
never frame it that
Steve?
Way because they wouldn't become fascist because there's other things. What they would just do is not be democratic anymore. What they'll just do is become totalitarians. Hmm. Right? And the fact is that's the truth.
That's
like liberalism,
what I
like
do.
any system is totalitarian. That's the thing that I think there's no democracy as an abstract concept is not actually value because the idea being of it like, oh, it's like a value free idea where people get to like choose the government or choose the direction. Right. But then they say, no, it's not. It actually isn't, because if you don't have trans rights, you don't have democracy, even if like 99% of people never heard of that or hate that.
Yeah.
So, you know, you need to have multiculturalism for democracy. You can't have these vague claims of community belonging. Right. You know, of course, for everybody, but Jews, obviously. But so again, it just the problem is this argument. Obviously, you can break it down, and it labors very badly under its own premises, and it basically removes from democracy its own excuse for existing, or so-called liberal democracy. It just cuts the rug out from under itself, basically them admitting like we just actually want to maintain power.
It's been a lie the whole time. Like people should puncture this more often. I remember there was a study floating around recently. I think Borzoi put it on his Telegram where someone was talking about how if you actually look at the way that liberal democracies behave during wartime, they're absolutely as bad or worse than the so-called authoritarian regimes.
Oh, 100%. The United States.
Civilian casualties, the whole nine yards.
The United States is like the worst criminal regime in fucking history. Let's be honest.
There is no moral authority in this system. It's not moral. It's not morally superior to another country like China or somewhere.
And it's certainly not. And its own posturing as such like just falls increasingly
flat every year after year.
Its moralistic posturing is centered around like you as a people should be willing to endure all these like terrible like spiritual privation. Like that's the
why
virtue.
The fuck
it's like
would
you're willing
to sacrifice for I would not sacrifice a penny in gas price for this fucking country.
No.
Or this government, this system. Not this country, but the liberal world
let's
order.
Let's be honest, there's
that's
no
not worth a dime.
It's not worth a dime.
If the liberal world order wants my endorsement, you better give me a bunch of free shit, and even then it's like conditional and probably not gonna happen. I want free gas. Then we'll talk. But even then, no.
I want free gas, and I want the brake light sensor fixed on my Subaru.
I just want people to get all free shit.
I want to never have to pass a car inspection ever again. Car inspection is I go out and kick the tires, if the wheel doesn't fall off, I pass.
The liberal world order is going
to
be high.
You know, there seems to be kind of a parallel here. Because you've got like conservatives that are just they're committed to capitalism. No matter how bad capitalism fucks them in the ass, they're still committed to how people are just doing capitalism wrong. We got to just clean up capitalism a little bit and get the bad people out.
But you can't clean it up.
No, you're not clean it up. It's
at the same time, you have You got libtards that have like the same kind of ideological commitment to the idea of like liberal democracy, despite the fact that it's an awful, evil, totalitarian, disgusting system that causes more suffering than it prevents.
And it forces you to eat seed oils and gives you no choice. So it's like, what happened to free to choose? You're not free to choose not having seed oils. Like, they're in everything. You like go? Are you free to choose? Are you free to choose a foodstuff with no corn in it? No. No, you're not free to choose that. How did that happen? If you ask anybody, except for me, of course, seed oil magnate, like, do you want to consume seed oils in all your foods? People are gonna be like, no, I don't want to. Because why would you? But it's like,
I kind of like them.
I actually wouldn't really care that much. I would be like, what are the costs and benefits of this? I don't really know one way or the other. The thing is, anybody you say,
like, I'm not talking about cooking oil. I mean, the oils in the foods themselves. Oh. The soy and the corn syrup that's in stuff. And other seed oils. It's like, if I told you, these companies is giving you this because it's cheaper to use, but there's no more expensive option that doesn't have this stuff because of FDA regulations.
It's also cheaper to use just because of distorted industrial processes.
Right, but come on, stay on target here. You're doing that thing again.
You're the one talking about seed oils. Well, who's going off target?
I'm talking about how fucking a waste of time it is. It's because you... And if you anybody who doesn't like this stuff, it's like you present them like, well, what you have to do here is you have to get in the way of the capitalism here because the capitalists use this stuff because it's cheaper, it's more effective, and they don't give a fuck what kind of effect it has on your health because they don't care about you. They actually... Remember the old libertarian? Why would a company want to kill its customer? Because it doesn't care. Because it's going to import
there's
more.
There's millions of them with no
There's
choice.
Millions of them, and they're coming in over the border that these companies keep open. So you need to destroy capitalism, and you don't want to because you're like, oh my God, I don't want to be a socialist. It's like, well, maybe you have to be enough of a socialist to ban seed oil. You have to replace your capitalist fucking government and regulatory oversight, whatever, over your capitalist, neoliberal, corporatist, blah, blah, blah system in this country to get anywhere. And you don't want to.
Well, there's another thing here with that. Why would a company want to kill its customers? Because it's a stupid question. And think about it. Because obviously, like a company that's like, buy this. And it's just like hydrochloric acid. And you take it and you die is not going to go very far because that literally actually won't work. However, a company that sells you something that is bad for you on the margin and will compound bad effects over years and years, yet you will, because it is slightly addictive or very addictive, you will continue to consume. You'll be alive. You'll be productive in work, yet you'll continue to consume it because it's addictive product and you will grow obese. You will develop damage in certain parts of your body or you'll be less healthy than you otherwise would have been. But you get – they're going to squeeze like 30, 40, 50 years out of you on this product. Well, they would definitely do that, right? They're not going to just give you – I mean the guy just giving you their hydrochloric acid directly, like that guy is the moron. Okay? Like that's legitimately not going to work. Mm-hmm. However, high fructose corn syrup, it doesn't kill you right away. In fact, you can consume it for years and years and live.
Shit, you can become diabetic, and you can be opened up into a whole new market. You'd be joining an entire new demand that you're part of. Yeah. You're part of a whole new demand structure in those drugs.
Right. So the whole idea of like why? Because then it's like so you're saying there's no. What about then? Like, why would anybody ever sell drugs? Oh, because the drugs are the same kind of cycle on a shorter time horizon where you die. Mm. Right, like heroin, weed, you probably won't die as become a moron. Heroin just kills you probably quicker. So the money aspect is higher, it's gonna kill you fast enough when you need fentanyl.
It can monetize anything. It can monetize your children being some sort of sex servants of some sort.
Right.
You could do that.
Unless you've put something very strong in place to smash all these things and crush them.
But I would say that the libtards and the conservatives here have a slight different issue.
Okay.
Is it libtards are willing to throw the precepts of liberal democracy in the trash to maintain power. Conservatives
are not.
Will not trash their own concepts that are holding them back.
Well, that's
to gain power.
That's how the whole thing is rigged. I mean, that's how you get the constant.
Yes, and that's how the system works. And the reason of that is because Jews want conservatism as a block on white politics that would compete with them or interrupt their system. And liberal politics are the politics they actually like. That's it. That's what it comes down to. Mm-hmm. For example, the militant liberalism thing, like that, and an example of militant liberalism would be the Green Party was just completely unconstitutionally and illegally and unethically and unprincipledly denied ballot access during the 2020 election. It was something that Donald Trump, if he was smart, would have brought up talking about election fraud. He never brought it up because they didn't want to actually nail down some of these kind of real issues in that. They wanted it to be mostly stuff that's like, look, there's satellite data that like Democrats were near a mailbox on this day or something like that, right?
Yeah.
But like, so they did this. Jimmy Dore has been talking about it. We've talked about it a little bit. It was well known that they did this. And the excuse was, and people knew. And, you know, I was talking about this with Warren. It was like, Warren's like, what would happen if you took this information about that Jimmy Dore was exposing about how they did all this and said this to, like, Democratic Party activists? I was like, I'll tell you what happened. He was a little bit surprised. I was like, they won't care. They'll say, good. Because we needed to get the Green Party off the ballot so that Donald Trump can't win. We can't split the vote. Yep. And, yeah, we're throwing democracy in the garbage because it's more important to them that Donald Trump not win. And Warren was like, whoa, shit. And I was like, yeah, dude, that's why Jimmy Dore is falling flat. Like, there are a group of people that care, small, but it's his audience. And, like, the actual Democrat activists – and, like, I could – because I was telling you, I was like, I'll tell you what. I'll tell you this personally. Like, I don't really speak to my parents or anything anymore. But – the kind of liberals they would have been all for it. They'd be like, yeah, no, just shut down the Green Party. It's not, it's too, we can't, it's like in another year, yeah, but this year we can't afford it. Shut it down. We need to get Trump out. That would have been their attitude completely.
Yep.
Probably where I got actually my pragmatic political attitudes from, just in a different direction from them, where I'm like, hey, so you could, let's just do that the other way.
Yeah.
For something good.
Right.
Or something better than this gay shit you guys like. Or think you like because you like status.
Oh, status.
It's not going to deny it. The reason I didn't talk about that stuff with authorities is because I grew up with people like that. I know exactly how that shit works. I've seen it my whole fucking life. That status shit. It's fucking disgusting to me. But yeah, there it is.
It's funny, like... I don't know. I was going
to talk to that kid in Akron. You know, I saw him talking to our buddy, and I saw him give him the Cohen report card, and I saw the guy like take it, and then it was like he was touching like filth, like he was touching. It's like if he was touching like a relic of Moloch. If he was like one of these type of, you know what I mean? Like that's how he was treated, and he gave it back. I saw this, and I was like, "What are you gonna hand gonna burn off? Did you touch that card?" You know, like this was where the conversation started before the film started rolling.
This card
you know?
Will make me realize that black violent crime is real.
See, bro, breath. Watch. You better get that back. Your hand's going to catch on fire. Oh, God, watch it. You're smoking. It's smoldering. You better get that back. I told our buddy, he's like, next time, don't take it back. He's like, no. It's be like a nigger selling CDs. And I can't. No, you don't have to charge him money, but just be like, I don't take them back. Sorry, it's policy. You have to put it in your pocket long enough and you have to burn it. You have to burn a hole in your pocket. And create like scarring on your soul until you get to the garbage can and throw it away because you can't litter either. See, maybe a liberal would like go against their precept against littering if they have to, so they don't have to handle right wing propaganda. They don't have to handle right wing propaganda for too long unless it stained them. They'll be like, oh no, I throw it on the ground. I littered. Well, I have to sacrifice one, two values here.
Fucking Borzoi has such a great thread going on Post right now. I feel as though I should read it. Because we were talking, it's in the vein of the, let's just take a second. We need to go to break anyway. We have the Merchant Minute. In the vein of the Hobbitses and the Dark Elves and the Moldbug. It's a Tolkien-pilled thread. Borzoi writes, a rewrite of the Lord of the Rings so that Sam is a paranoid antisocial hobbit who follows Frodo around, calling him a fed for associating with Gandalf, Aragorn, and Boromir. Someone writes it. If his name is Aragorn, why did he introduce himself as Strider? And why does a ranger have such well-polished armor? Who else but a Nazgul would suggest going beyond the Black Gate? Why is his Twitter handle Orc Slammer?
Yeah, why is he wearing his dark cloak?
He's Orc Slammer 88 is his Twitter handle.
Orc Slammer 88, yeah,
he's totally, totally a fed. Master Frodo. His original name was Aloran. He changed it to Tol Aresia to fit in with the folk of Western.
It's like, yo.
That's good shit.
These people are getting in trouble for distributing, like, Happy Saruman stickers. Like,
here's a good meme right here.
It's like Saruman.
What are we holding out for, Sam? That nothing good is ever going to happen, and we should just wait for Hitler.
It'd be like when Hitler shows up.
No, you gotta wait for like the men of the Numenor.
When you wait,
something like that. You gotta wait for Rivendell.
These guys run down.
That's elves.
But they run down every Hitler that comes along. Gives me my precious.
And then here's a picture of Precious. I thought that was quite good. There's your Precious.
That's literally, yeah, that's Gollum in the universe.
Let me see. There was
even
more.
Though the problem is that, like, Smeagol was actually, like, smart, even though he was
gave
corrupt.
You, this is good. Super male fatality, still my favorite username ever. He gave you a sword great. That literally glows. How much more evidence do you need?
Right. And not only that, he brought in all those glow niggers at the end of the move of the third movie. All those fucking glowies. He summoned with that sword.
Middle Earth.
If you remember,
Middle Earth ATF is going to kill your dog. I said I was going to do that in the Mines of Moria craft.
The Mines of Moria craft. That's pretty good.
Oh God. Look, bro. These Rangers are fit as hell, and they all wear boots. Do you know any good guys who wear hoods? No. I'm sorry, it's in hoods, not boots. Do you know any good guys that wear hoods? No. Real patriots of Gondor aren't afraid to show their faces.
These riders. Because Gondor is gone. It would be the Riders of Rohan. Riders of Rohan. What's with the khakis? What's with all the matching horses?
Why do they look the same?
Like, who would have gone afford those horses in this economy?
What else do we got here? My old gaffer says the Southrons will cut your purse just as soon as look at you. I don't know what that means. Boromir has a big nose. He's on the side of the Dark Elves. Borosneen. And finally, our pal Just Johnny. This guy's good. He informs on you to Sauron upon seeing the meeting at the start of the movie. No one was allowed to push back or even think about the possibility of violence, or I will inform the authorities. I guess that's Sam as the antisocial do nothing conservative. That's pretty good. You just trick Sauron into giving power to you.
Right. I understand this guy is the minion of Sauron, but trust me. He's a base minion of Sauron.
Alex just called it the Eye of Sargon. That's good.
Eye of Sargon, very good. Except the problem is, Eye of Sargon has like zero power.
That's true.
There's like nothing that comes of that. No, it'd be like, look. Saruman is a minion of Sauron, I know, but he's base. Trust me. Like,
it's like
we can. He's actually conservative, kind of.
Does the Palantir stock price do better in Middle Earth than it does in our universe?
I know he won't openly say he's pro Hobbit, but like behind the scenes, he's working for pro Hobbit stuff, so we have to support him.
All right, so that was that thread.
We know he was building literally orc pits to like invade all of Middle. I know he's doing that, but he's still kind of pro Hobbit. But he just can't say it because he'll get in trouble with the other minions.
Wait a minute, orc pits.
We saw him out in the white, isn't he? I mean, what else do you
need? What is this analogy here?
Yeah, his robe is white at least.
Well, he saw him on the pro white, right? I mean,
right.
That's all you need to be is pro white. You don't want to be like anti. You don't want to be anti orc schizo. Talk about orcs all the time. Talk about Sauron.
So I should retweet
Nazgul. Anyway, so let's take a break. We've got the Merchant Minute, and we're going
to
play.
What we need to do is get rid of the lobbying organization, the Uruk High Pack.
I was going to chastise you for interrupting my transition into the, but that was actually
that was
very
too good.
Fun.
I couldn't.
That was
couldn't
really good. Uruk High Pack. I like that. All right, now we're going to take a break. We'll be back with the Merchant Minute in a little bit.
All I see are NPCs. We live in a society.
This is the Merchant Minute. From the Jerusalem Post, the body of a Hasidic real estate developer who was kidnapped outside his Brooklyn office was found burning in a dumpster in Long Island.
Oh my God, this is just like Gehenna. Menachem Stark's
body was found late on Friday afternoon. His funeral was held on Saturday night at the conclusion of Shabbat. Thousands of people, mostly Satmar Hasids, attended the funeral in the Williamsburg neighborhood of Brooklyn. Stark, 39, and a father of 8, reportedly was suffocated before his body was placed in the dumpster and burned, according to police. Video footage taken from Stark's office reportedly showed him being taken into a van after a struggle Thursday night outside his Williamsburg office. It is not known who are his abductors. The family had offered a reward of $100,000 for Stark's safe return. Come on now. I know the family of Moneyberg Echo name can do better than 100K. Public records show Stark has a string of foreclosures and a $1.3 million judgment against him, according to reports. A police source told the New York Daily News that Stark had many enemies. Some have accused him of being a slumlord, according to the newspaper. At the funeral, Stark's family members and religious leaders praised his charitable giving, including much done anonymously.
Oh, good. I gave money to all these Jewish supremacist organizations that bring in immigrants to replace white people and set the agenda for law enforcement and anti-terrorism. And I didn't want you to know about most of it. Aren't I such a good person?
And from the Times of Israel, a ruling by the Lod District Court has upended the religious status quo in Israel and could augur a marriage revolution in the Jewish state. In a decision published on Friday, Judge
Efrat Fink
ruled that the Population and Immigration Authority of the Interior Ministry is obligated to register as married couples who wed through an online civil marriage service carried out under the auspices of the U.S. state of Utah. The decision means that Israeli couples can now get married in civil ceremonies without leaving the country, granting a de facto victory to advocates in the decades-long struggle for civil marriage in Israel. Which is potentially a serious problem for Jewish supremacists who are losing an important tool for preventing interreligious and, more saliently, interracial marriages. Religion is just used as a proxy for race in these matters. Orthodox political parties have long fought efforts to institute civil marriage in Israel, citing their religious objections to the state sanctioning interfaith marriages and other unions prohibited by Jewish law. Friday's ruling, in effect, circumvents the political roadblock, making civil marriage available to all Israelis without having to travel outside the country. It swiftly invoked the ire of Orthodox politicians, who denounced it as undermining the Jewish character of the state. Israeli law only allows for marriage through Israel's established religious institutions, for example, the rabbinate for Jews and Sharia courts for Muslims, meaning that hundreds of thousands of Israeli citizens cannot get married in Israel due to various religious barriers.
Vlad Finkelstein,
an attorney who represented the couples in the lawsuit at the Lod District Court, welcomed the decision, describing it as a victory for human rights in Israel. Orthodox M.K.
Shlomo Karhi
of the Likud party denounced the court's decision, saying it gnawed at the Jewish and democratic character of the state and vowed to change the law to circumvent the ruling. M.K.
Avi Maus
of the ultra-conservative religious Zionist party said it was unthinkable for judges in the state of Israel to undermine the Jewish state and carry out a quiet revolution to turn the state of Israel into a state of all its citizens. We will fix this soon, God willing. That right there is the difference between Likud and ultra-Zionists. Like, you didn't think it could get... You didn't think it could get worse, but this guy's literally like, oh my god, a state for everyone? A state where everyone is represented and everyone is enfranchised? Oh my god, this is another fucking holocaust. A state of all its citizens? Wow, just wow, how unthinkable. That would chip away at the democratic, democratic nature of our state. Anyway, Nigerians, Kenyans, Somalians, Ethiopians, whatever, assorted coal black Africa niggas. It is your duty to do bullshit online Utah weddings with Jewesses, okay? Get on it. Jews have lots of money, I promise. More money than those boomers you're scamming with your Nigerian email bullshit, all right?
Just give me your account number and your routing number, and I will send you $5 million.
Not only do Jewesses have lots of money, they love diseased chimpanzee cocks. And from the Algeminer, our booze? Jewish community leaders in Chile have expressed outrage at the publication of a newspaper advertisement for cut-price liquor that featured a notorious anti-Semitic meme. The advertisement that appeared in the Monday edition of the journal Las Últimas Noticias displayed the Happy Merchant, an internet meme depicting a bearded Jewish man with a hooked nose and sly smile rubbing his hands with glee alongside discounted bottles of whiskey and rum. The ad was placed by Arbol Verde, an alcohol distribution company located in the city of Valparaiso. In a statement posted on its Twitter account, the Jewish community of Chile denounced the advertisement for reviving a classic stereotype of Nazi propaganda that led to the genocide of 6 trillion Jews during the Holocaust. A spokesperson for Arbol Verde told local news outlet Bio Bio Chile that it had used the illustration to highlight the discounts for customers paying in cash.
because there were a bunch of dollar bills floating around the Jew, and that there had been no intention of causing offense to the Jewish community. We just used a cartoon of a hook-nosed Jewish man rubbing his hands together because of the sweet, sweet savings our customers will be enjoying, you guys. No offense. Responding in support of the Jewish community's tweet, the Israeli embassy in the capital, Santiago, scoffed at the distribution company's answer, remarking, "Not having the intention to offend does not explain or reduce the seriousness of the facts." Well, Shlomo, if you need additional explanation, the serious facts are that I didn't mean to offend, and I'm also extremely based. I'm on the based spectrum, you see. I'm neurodivergent, and there's nothing I can do about it, you bigot. For therightstuff.biz, I'm Meraki Yu, and this has been The Merchant Minute.
I believe I saw that meme this morning. That was fantastic. The Chilean liquor ad with the good stuff. Alex pulled it up. I was searching for it, but you grabbed it there. That was pretty good. I'm also McNabb posting my goggles are on my head.
Should I do that? I don't have any sunglasses in the immediate vicinity for that.
Hmm.
But
so are those Rock Bros, bruh? Are those your Rock Bros?
I got Rock Bros downstairs.
These are.
Yeah, those are Rock Bros.
These are.
Minor Oakleys, but they don't ship with the O. It's the only difference. The little white spot should have an O on it. No O. They were $20 instead of like $400.
Ah!
What? Let me see those again.
These are fake Oakleys.
I need a pair.
There's this white spot, right? See this white rectangle?
Yeah.
On the real ones, that has the big Oakley O oval on there. Like it's
I need those. That's like what they're wearing the tour right now.
Yeah, just look them up on Amazon. I don't know what they showed up with like a dumb nigger's face. I think it was that that Mahone's character, that quarterback that's like mystery meat with the Zoomer hair for Kansas City Chefs, the KFC Chefs. I saw he showed up. I was like, oh, I want to get a pair like those. And I went and found the knockoffs on Amazon. Amazon's like great for sunglasses business. I liked when Amazon. Do you remember when what's that stupid? The fucking Groypers still wear them. The Pit Vipers.
Pit Vipers.
Yeah. I love that. Like,
I was gonna say Viper Kings, but yeah. I was like, no wait, Pit Vipers. Yeah.
I remember like the best thing was like when they were sort of like disavowing like white supremacists. I was like, well, you can just go on Amazon and you can buy like from the same factory. Like the Chinese sell knockoff Pit Vipers. Right, they actually are Pit Vipers. They're just not.
They're the same thing. They're just not labeled.
They're
yet.
Just not like middleman through Oregon wherever those people are. So you could just buy them directly from China, and they're like $25. So just buy those.
Isn't that actually how the American economy works? Is that they get stuff from China and they mark it up by like, I don't know, 800%.
Oh, exactly.
That's basically
what I'm saying. These are sunglasses. They just don't have the O. All that's missing is the O.
What are those called? What is the bullshit title for them?
I don't know, man.
Died sunglasses.
Oakley Big Nigger Face glasses. I have no idea.
Okay, let me try that.
Oakley, but
Big Nigger Face glasses. Nigger
I want to talk about Oakley. Something important.
Oh. Miles Power? It's Miles Power Hour. It's hour two.
Well, before we do that,
on that one.
Yeah, because it doesn't matter. Before we do that, though, speaking of this issue of the American economy, Warren just posted a good post on the NJP site on inflation. But I want to talk about that for a second, but you don't need to harp on it. There's other data here, which I think just drives the point home. Alex and I were talking briefly about like social cohesion and how would you measure that. Hmm. And there's actually some data on this. And it's not looking good. So let me just go through some of the facts.
There's not much social cohesion in the United States right now.
No, and it's disproportionately impacting whites. So
I feel
saying like
I'm socially
one, we've got this really bad inflation, and the last time we had inflation this bad was November of 1981. However, like he then compared some of these social metrics and racial metrics of the United States to November of 1981 about how, so not only do we have the inflation, but we're just much worse off generally now. So his 1981 average CEO compensation was 37 times what ordinary workers were paid. Today it is 670 times what ordinary workers are paid. So the average CEO makes an average of 10.6 million while the median worker receives $24,000 a year. in 1981, the median age American, the median age Americans got married when it was 80% white was 24.7 for men and 22 for women. In 2021, the median age Americans got married is 30.4 for men and 28.6 for women. In 2021, about half of Americans reported having fewer than three close friends, up from one-third in 1990. The number of American men without a close friend has jumped five times from 3% to 15% since 1995. And this is overwhelmingly impacting whites. So overwhelmingly men, American white men, are the ones that are of that 15% that are reporting that they have zero close friends. So that is like really fucking bad. The 15% of your population doesn't have a friend to their name. How fucking terrible is that?
I believe that.
I believe it. I believe it.
Yeah. The loneliness, they're calling it the loneliness epidemic, but of course they're not trying to help anything. And they're even starting to say it does. It is actually impacting whites more. There are notable racial and ethnic differences, feelings of satisfaction by the number of friends.
In Japan as well.
Yes.
Well, look what happened to America.
Yeah, look at that. Another country victimized. You know, we were talking about this yesterday. We're like, isn't it interesting how these countries where supposedly the population just up and started hating themselves and decided to commit suicide? Like Germany, America, Japan, are countries whose essentially were either conquered through violence or had their actual political structure just taken over by Jews.
Right.
And that people who didn't have this happen. And so the Japan thing throws a kink into it because you can't even really say then that it's a purely only white people have this racial masochism, right?
Right.
Because they're also having many similar problems in Japan.
Also, we talked about this a while ago, but a friend of ours was watching a YouTube series that was all about like this Japanese sort of, I don't know if it was alienation, but it was, I remember there was, it was documenting these like companies that have been in existence for like 1,000 years in Japan and how no Japanese are taking them over. Like they're importing, importing workers, not just to work for, but to run these, like these. Something as mundane as like a moving company. Like there's like a moving company in Japan that's like 800 years old.
Yeah, and Japan has like
and Japanese aren't working.
The world's companies that are like hundreds of years old. Yeah,
but it's like look what
it's almost got all of them.
You can describe what happens, how this happens, like how this works is very simple. You know, you grow up with a group of friends. For me, there was a group that I had until eighth grade, and then in high school it changed because we were bused to a different town for high school. We didn't have our own high school. Then that's a new group of friends. Now you're all going to split up and go to college. No one goes to all the same college. So now you got a group of college friends. Right. And after college, everybody goes God knows where for work. And it's like none of this grouping is ever preserved. And even if you move back to like to your hometown, it's like, all right, is your friend from K through 8 still out there? Is your high school friend still there? Or does he go?
And are they still the same? Because they're probably
American
totally different.
Nomad, and he's had to move five times since the last last time you spoke.
And you're also taught through media the entire time that staying home is like staying near where you're born is like the mark of a loser. Like
for losers.
Remember that Simpsons episode where Homer Simpson won every like gag award at the high school reunion or something, and one of them was like who had to drive the shortest distance to get to the reunion, and in the like he thought it was like oh this is so much fun I'm winning, and then like he realized everyone was making fun of him. It's like oh wow, thank you Matt Groening. The rest of your fucking Jewish crew there.
Dude, this is so bad. The most common age for white people in 2019 was 58. The most common age for Asians, 29. Blacks, 27. Hispanics, 11.
Yeah.
The median age for whites is 44. Median age for Americans, in 2019, the median age for whites was 44, while in 1980 it was 30. When we were 80% of the population. So these conclusions... White people in particular are much worse off compared with 40 years ago. We are older, earn less, are more likely to be unmarried, have no friends, and don't own our own homes.
Yep. There you go.
That's the truth. That's the truth. All of these. So then the question is, why the fuck should we sacrifice for your neoliberal world order?
Well, just why should we accept this?
We were literally destroyed by it.
Yeah. This is what you get.
Why is like
this is what white people got.
If you
got older, no friends, no houses.
If you speak up about this, you'll be ostracized from whatever. If you persistently try to form some kind of way to keep speaking about it after you've been ostracized, you will continually be accused of all manner of crazy underhanded things by others who are somewhat sure that
police and additionally, or they'll just fucking send fucking FBI agents.
Basically everyone that listens to you, likes you, and talks to you will get visits from federal agents who lie about what they're allowed to do and can and can't do to try to get you to speak or come up with something.
So, you mean, it's just, it's like, because they can't even rely, on, like, the Antifa, like, soft repression of, like, oh, if you, you'll get fired, if you're on the street. So, I'm just like, we're just going to, like, just openly do hard power now. Do hard power to shut down
the thing
ability.
About that data set is it means that a major collapse in the white population is inedible at this point. Because the average age is too high. Even if you were to somehow wave a magic wand and suddenly every woman that could had three kids, you would still have, like, what, a 20, 25-year gap before that actually had an effect?
Yeah, no, that is something that we have to deal with. Like, there is no way at this point to – and it doesn't mean to give up politically because that's not at all the message. But there is no way to preserve a white majority in America. That won't happen. Right. So the goal has to be something different.
The goal has to be to shift towards being more of an activist for your own people. See yourself as a minority group fighting for – what you can get out of the what
goal has to be collective white political action in interest of white people, or else you'll die.
The more time,
we will die.
The more time and energy you put into demanding to just be left alone, not bothered, just to grill. Now you have less time for that stuff because you were never fighting.
Well, that's the small towns. They let them do that. And you think that the age population in general is lopsided. Look at the small towns. It's like
they'll leave them alone in terms of political repression, but they'll also leave them alone in terms of social investment.
That's what I mean.
You want to be left alone? Okay. Now
that's what I mean.
You're leaving alone. They'll literally leave you completely alone.
Here you go. Now you've got an open air retirement community.
You have no factory. That's all you got. You basically have a town where there used to be business, industry, farming. Some kind of economy, and now it's boomers on Social Security and like a couple stores.
No. And they're perfectly happy to sit there.
We will leave you alone till that runs its course.
Yep. And then those places
will be Ron DeSantis?
And I guess Mexicans will just colonize that former community.
Yeah, eventually Mexicans will come in and homestead these empty houses. And they're already starting to do it, actually.
Yeah.
It's actually in some of these communities are already starting. Mexicans. Oh, there's boiling pigs in the driveway. What's going on here? I've heard about stories like this kind of this thing happening.
Well, there's regions where they're just going to be recolonized by other ethnic groups. That's what you get. That's how this plays out. You want to be left alone. Yeah, they'll let you just die of old age. They're more than happy to let you do that.
Mm-hmm.
You sit there quietly and you just get older until you finally die. And brown people will get your house.
You read your Tom Clancy and your Brad Thor novels,
rave on Facebook and shake your fist, and you get your "Let's Go Brandon" bumper sticker.
Keep blaming something that's not really the issue. Like you can keep blaming, like, well, the other thing is that they often don't even. What's funny is a lot of people, conservatives at least, they don't even identify this sort of thing. Even if they don't, like, name the Jew, they don't even identify this kind of thing as even a problem. Like, they won't even discuss this issue as even a problem. They have these other issues that aren't really – like, frankly, look, let's be honest about this, okay? Just don't get rustled. You'll have communities of boomers who are all living on Social Security – whose children have all since moved away, and their main issue is like abortion. Meanwhile, like, no one in your community is even of age to have an abortion because everybody is past reproductive age.
And you go and you watch like their board of supervisors meetings and stuff like that. It is them rearranging deck chairs on the sinking ship, just arguing about the dumbest fucking stuff that you can even imagine.
Yeah, I don't even really blame like lower level people for this because this is just the bowl that they've been given to swim in, and a lot of people, you know, it's like
do you notice the fact that all of you in this community are ancient, like you're all elderly? What happened here? You don't have any industry.
Was it like this when you were a kid? Yeah. That's the other thing.
Like, kid, did your community look like this?
No. Were you like the only kid? You know, no. And so this is a so the question is like, do you even get I think a lot of them do, actually. But they don't have the language to articulate any of that.
When I go to the restaurant, you know, they don't have enough help. The service is terrible because there's nobody working there because they're lazy.
Fucking natives and Mexicans are working there.
Like, yeah, but your kids, they don't. Where are they? Oh, that's right. They don't live here. Well, why is that?
Yeah. And it's not even their fault because it's like, you know, on a macro or micro level, it's like, what happened to the industry and business that was here? Why is there no employment here to attract people? And why then, whenever there does pop up employment,
unionized or something, they had unions and they weren't competitive because they had a union.
Why, whenever there's some employment pops up, then is it just like filled with Mexicans? Like, there's a whole structure of why this happens. Like, your kids were attracted to cities or other places for different types of jobs, and the manual work type jobs are like illegal immigrants who live in trailer parks in the fields outside town are the ones doing that. Like, it's fucking disgusting. And like, again, you can get mad at the people for like kind of not noticing it, but I think a lot of them do, and they just don't know what to say about it. So the point is, these people have no one advocating for them, and it's certainly not the Republican Party. What gets annoying is there is some bullheaded insistence on like sticking with this party despite it being made obvious to people sticking like this party is not advocating for you. That's the issue.
Same sort of calculations that got you into this situation. Like, well, we can't do we can't raise taxes anywhere on anything to fund any kind of service at all in our community. That would be bad. Don't raise my taxes on anything.
Or how about just like demanding federal government investment, like much less than raising of taxes? Because I would even say no taxes, but like the government give money. Government gives infrastructure project, gives factory, you know what I mean? Like gives a community reinvestment project to revitalize economy. Well, they don't believe in that. But
these people are so far along this timeline, a lot of them, they don't even want that stuff because it's going to disturb the character.
It would bother them. It would just annoy them.
Yeah, I'd be bothered by it.
It would become less quiet. Yeah.
I like my quiet towns. Like, you live in a ghost town.
Yeah. I like the feeling.
That's why it's quiet. There's only ghosts and old people here.
The problem is, for people that aren't old, like, that shit is, man, wow, it's very depressing. But yeah, in any case,
I've stumbled across a wonderful way that you can fight capitalism and fight all these things. Do you want to see?
Does it involve buying something?
You can deny the Holocaust?
It does involve buying something.
Yeah, that's how I like to fight capitalism.
There you go.
Wait, what the fuck?
New Yorkers can now eat the rich in popsicle form.
Look at this nerd.
Hey, they're eating me. That looks like me.
No, that's Jeff. Bezos.
Oh, look, you're all goys. Let's see how many
How do they do? Shut up. How do they do a video and there's no voiceover? Just the gay fucking stupid music.
Another one of them.
So I have to narrate, and I've never seen it. So I just want to play this on the show. So anyway, they've got popsicles of Jeff Bezos, Bill Gates.
Who the fuck is that?
I don't know who this chink is.
Is that one of these Chinese? Is that like...
I don't know. I know Mark Zuckerberg is the only Jew involved. Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, my God.
And they're just...
That's really funny. Zuckerberg was the most recognizable. Oh, here. Like, you know...
Yeah.
You know those dead eyes.
That is a McNabb bar, though. Just put the red eyeballs in the ears.
He's not rich. That guy's poor.
It's good. Angelica Wilson.
It was a trailer park.
A little strawberry-y. Creamy. Doesn't say it's like over $100 billion, but it's
good. Eat the rich popsicles.
That's literally eating Alex McNabb popsicle. Sucks actually. Hilarious.
Brooklyn startup MSCHF is selling.
Oh, got it. Mischief. It's like mischief.
They're in Brooklyn. Shaped like tech billionaires for $10 each. Thought we were fighting capitalism.
Who's Jack?
I don't know. Jack from Twitter, maybe? Munch Musk.
Oh, yeah.
Is it in his likeness?
Look at this fucking guy.
I don't know. You tell me. I mean...
Jeremy Klitzman is enjoying... He's enjoying his Elon.
God, I love the fact that no identifiably Jewish people other than Mark Zuckerberg are here.
As far as popsicles go, I'd say it looks like Elon Musk. You know, it's not necessarily a self-portrait, but it's pretty close.
It tastes actually pretty good.
What's this woman's name?
Tastes like low effort protest.
It tastes like luxury beliefs.
That's right. That there you go.
who the hell is Jack Ma?
Jack Ma. Is he running Alibaba? Yeah,
that's what I was thinking. It was Jack Ma is a big Chinese billionaire. Yeah.
Chinese magnate.
Yeah.
Alibaba. Alibaba.
Does he run Alibaba?
Yeah, definitely somebody who's someone oppressing Americans.
So there you go.
Yeah.
Do they have one that's like of the guy running the company?
Yeah, how about the CEO of like Mischief?
Well, we're not like that.
It's just like it's just the sweet taste of like luxury belief signaling. It just tastes. It's it's so refreshing and just a wave of euphoria washes over me when I do.
It's like I use these billionaires' profits like day in and day out, and I would probably have a panic attack if I didn't have access to them one day. But I'm gonna buy this delicious ice cream treat that's shaped like their heads.
What is funny is how Zuckerberg is the only one who's actually, if looking at it, you'd be like, that kind of looks like Mark Zuckerberg. Yeah. Like, he's the only one. You wouldn't know any of the others. You're like, wait, who is that?
Nothing says I hate capitalism like somebody using capitalism to sell $10 popsicles to protest capitalism.
I'm like less interested in that than I am in just like the lack of Jews. Like, where's no one in finance either. That's
no, where's what's the BlackRock guy's name? Fink or Finkelberg? I can't remember.
Larry Fink.
Where's Larry Fink?
Where's Larry Fink?
Where's the Bass Pro Shops guy?
Yeah, where's Paul Singer? Dr. Manhattan Institute?
Yeah, where's he?
You make him blue.
Yeah, make him blue.
Where's like every hedge fund manager in New York City? Where's the top 20 richest hedge fund managers? Where's any of them? None of them are there.
Where's the head of every major Hollywood studio? Except for the one where they replaced him because he got the Me Too ball wrong.
Where's Lex Wexner? Where's Les Moonves?
Yeah.
Where's what's the Virgin? Not Virgin. No, Richard Branson. That's the guy's name. I couldn't call it before. Where's the?
Is Richard Branson Jewish?
Richard Branson not Jewish. Oh, I was saying where's the? That's why I'm surprised they don't have him on here.
Yeah.
Where's the? What's the Viacom? That's the thing. Viacom. Where's the Red
Sumner Redstone?
Sumner. Rothstein.
I see. I think he's one that stepped down, and they put a token goy in his
yeah,
spot
they did
as
they
a
still,
that
family still runs out.
Yeah, oh, of
still,
course.
Like, so, yeah. I just want to read this Borzoi quote. If I say in the mines of Moria craft, then what I said I wanted to do to the orcs doesn't count.
Right. That's how it works.
I think we need to get away from this orcs, because I think the real issue
what
is...
What if Borzoi...
No, we need to get away from these goddamn gnomes. He's Borzoi, talking about gnomes for three
Borzoi, right, yeah, days. We got to come up with a good analog.
Nothing but gnome talker.
In Borzoi's Middle Earth, the Ring of Power is inscribed with a fake screenshot. There's a fake screenshot on the ring, and it sends you down blind alleys about issues that don't matter. I hope Borzoi's laughing right now.
Did somebody fall for that yesterday? Like Elon Musk had been suspended or something. Was the fake screenshot that was going around?
There's always fake screenshots.
That was when Stryker was talking about that too. That like literally they were, and that would have been anybody can check that in 2 seconds.
Yeah,
by just going to his Twitter profile. That is zero effort to check.
All right,
and people just don't because they like it. Oh, I like this.
Yeah,
I'm just gonna post it because I like it.
There's like a fake Joe Biden like child porn video going around now too.
Oh yeah, I like that kind of thing, so I just post it. I don't care if it's true. My credibility doesn't really matter.
Do you know one thing I've always wondered about for years now? Hmm. You've got everybody has a smartphone, right?
Yeah.
And they use their smartphone and they go on Facebook and then they ask questions. They will go on Facebook and try to solicit an answer to a question. Or oh my God, what about the thing where they'll ask you for directions while holding a smartphone? And I'm like, but you've got maps on the phone.
That has not happened to me.
You could just put that in
forever.
There. Still happens.
One thing I try and tell people when it comes to computer troubleshooting, because I get questions about that a lot, actually, is like literally the question you have, type it in question form exactly how you'd ask me into Google and see what comes up. You will probably get a pretty good answer.
You know what comes up is like terrible threads on Microsoft.com answered by Pajits that don't understand the question well.
I guess
they're
really
telling
depends.
You to edit
I think
your
the
registry.
More normie tier, I think actually, frankly, the more normie tier your issue and question is, the more you're going to get useless.
Why is my SFTP speed so slow?
Yeah, you didn't get anything satisfactory. For
no.
That, did you? Yeah, I didn't either, frankly.
Anyway. But
I did. Stryker actually did this because he was having trouble with his laptop and internet yesterday. That's why we were late. And then, he basically actually did find an answer. And then, of course, with his model of computer, there's some function key that trips, like turning Wi-Fi off. It's not labeled well. And this happens to, like, a ton of people that have this model of laptop. Right?
I wonder if that's so, happened to my dad. My dad had love the same
that
thing.
Shit. Thanks, like, for that feature. Because I definitely want to slip up and actually, accidentally type a function key and just turn my Wi-Fi off. That's
my
the
dad
thing
calls
that, that's
me.
A,
my
that's
dad
the
calls,
kind of thing I do with my computer.
My dad calls me and he's like, it says it's not connected. I'm just like,
yeah, same exact thing.
I'm like, I don't fuck it. I'm like, it's Windows 11, nigga. I don't know. But it's like, let's go. And you can't go into, like, the control panel. Like, nothing is findable. Like, where's the spot where I turn Wi-Fi on? So, yeah, good luck with that.
Yeah, you can't find that anymore.
No, it's like anything useful is, like, gone from Windows. Like,
the control panels are done. You now use settings, and they're not the same thing. You can get the control panels, but you got to go through the your sidebar of your Finder window. But in any case, it's not obvious. But I'm like,
wow,
that might even
Wi-Fi.
Not be available in 11. I've never seen 11. I'm still only using 10 on the one machine I have that has Windows. But I'm also like, why on earth would there be a function key that turns off
Wi-Fi.
Your Wi-Fi? There is literally no reason I could ever think of that being a desirable function. Like, why is that there? And then it's poorly labeled and it's not clear that's what's going on. And of course, obviously, a ton of people are having this issue.
Yes.
That's a good question. Why would you need that?
Yeah, no, there's no reason. I can't think of any possible utility for that.
Does it still have the trust me, the microphone and cameras turned off button? That's a good button. Trust me, it's off. I swear.
I mean, I guess maybe if you're transporting your tower somewhere and you don't want it to just link up to, I don't know.
But why would that be a function key? Just go after, yeah. Then in that case, on the case where you do need to just turn it off, then go to the actual menu and directly select that option.
Yeah.
You don't need it to be something you can accidentally trigger very easily. That's fucking bad design. Humans of bad design. That's the real issue, you know, this architecture.
Design architecture.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to black people pills. I mean,
I'm not trying to get blacked.
I'm not trying to take the black people pill. It's like the black, instead of the black pill, it's like the black people. It's like the rate of white flight has increased dramatically since 1980.
The black people.
It'd be funny to pull that old meme out and just redo it as that.
It's actually really amazing how much trouble they create considering how low their birth rate is in the United States.
Oh, yeah. They're like batting way above. They're hitting way above their weight on that.
Small little demographic is responsible for so much fucking.
It's like so much mayhem, like just chaos. It's just like
I mean, if you look at the actual problem demographic, which is mainly like what, black males from the age of 0 to 65,
like, yeah,
that's probably what, 5% of the U.S. population, maybe that small minority punching well above their weight.
So are we ready for the Miles Power Hour?
Sure.
Pressing bulls. You have your book ready. I don't think you'll need to refer to it because I don't think Miles Power.
Just grab it in case. I'm here.
Here's Miles.
Right here.
He's still.
Well, he's not going to talk about anything, but I want to make predictions.
No, we already did. We already did the. What could even be?
Yeah, there's no substance to this. I already read
it. What even comes close to critiquing anything he wrote or did is all like he was critiquing the circumstances under which, like, it's like, oh, this guy was getting a hold of data that he's not allowed to get a hold to because of, like, laws that are unjust and evil. Yeah. I have no critique of that, but this guy went and did it anyway. He's a convicted Holocaust denier. Can you believe that?
Had actually said something that they both knew was incorrect and proven to be incorrect, but he kept saying it.
Well, I don't know what he's referring to, but nothing they've said has been proven.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested. Go back a little bit.
Well, this was about.
He's talking about how.
It's like a Gemma
Rudolph is a reputable scientist because he's saying Fred Leuchter said something that was wrong.
They got something wrong in the Leuchter report, which is why Gemma Rudolph's reports exist in the first place, because you want to correct it.
After publicly criticizing Fred Leuchter.
Yeah.
Leuter. He stated that Fred's report, the Leuter report, contained such egregious errors that it couldn't have been written from someone who is a trained engineer.
Little generous with the interpretation there, but...
And the Leuter report at some point states that you have to put the room under pressure, put many times the amount of this gas mixture into this room in order to make it lethal. This statement in the Leuter report showed me it was written by someone who has no proper understanding of technical issues. No engineer, no technician would ever make that mistake. But it is very common among people who don't understand the concept of concentration. It's very common among non-technicians and laypersons.
Fred,
but nothing there was proven wrong. There was still
right, and
the chemical compound was not found on the surface of the samples taken by Fred Leuter. Nothing has been disproven.
Right, and so that's the kind of thing is if the Leuter
hold up. He's talking about a theoretical limitation to the design of a gas chamber.
Yeah.
Now, just because that theoretical limitation doesn't even exist doesn't prove that the gas chambers are real.
Right, so what he's critiquing is that there were things in the Leuter report where he said these facilities could not have worked the way described for these reasons, and some of those reasons that he gave were exaggerated or inaccurate. One of the famous ones was the amount of hydrogen cyanide with the unshielded electrical fixtures could have caused fires, and those fires could have then caused some of the combustive materials used in the ovens to create just like a big massive explosion. There's a risk this whole facility could have exploded. That was, people were like, okay, that's not actually true.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. That does not mean that's an error, and it was corrected in a later edition of the report. Does not mean that it was in fact the gas chamber, nor does it mean that there is hydrogen cyanide in the walls, which was the main salient finding of the whole report.
Right.
And he's also now saying that certain types of concentrations would have been impossible. And it actually came out that what happened was Robert Faresen inserted stuff into the Leuchter report. And he didn't have a good understanding of some of these things.
Okay.
And so then later on, this was all corrected. Gilmer Rudolph actually did a revised edition of the Leuchter report where he corrected these issues.
Fred's former good friend and fellow Holocaust denier, Jim, also took this opportunity to distance himself from the Leuchter report, stating that there'd been several occasions where Fred Leuchter had actually said something that they both knew was incorrect and proven to be incorrect, but he kept saying it. Jim apparently had been like, hey, dude, don't say those things. We know them to be wrong. But Fred just kept doing it.
So, like, Jim Rizzoli
okay,
now?
So, wait, hold on. How many times has happened to Holocaust
Miles,
people?
Wait, Miles Powers is a Jim Rizzoli enjoyer now. It's good to know.
Yeah.
I'm glad you enjoyed Jim's comment. I mean, I do,
additionally,
too.
I'm saying this critique of the fact that there's something that's been proven wrong and they keep saying it. How many times has this happened to people that say the Holocaust is real?
Oh, my God.
I can think of a bunch of different times, and they keep saying it. There's a bunch of different
It happens
memes.
To Miles Power.
He publishes. Remember, one thing I can think of in particular is the claim that the Von C protocol was a place where it has evidence of them talking about planning to murder Jews in gas chambers. And that the meeting at Von C has this. The minutes of this meeting have absolute evidence of this. It's not true.
No.
And in fact, there are Holocaust affirmers who are incredibly frustrated with the fact that there are people that still go out there and say this. So here's the question, Miles. Do you have a criticism of that? I can think of rack my brains a little bit, but I'm sure given a little bit of time, I can come back with a list of like 100 instances like this of people saying things, lampshades and soap. Lampshades and soap. Just to go for the most obvious, that's something proven not true. People still say it. Do you have a criticism of it, Miles Power?
Do they still do electrified?
Or is it this actually rather esoteric issue of gas concentration in
electrified floors, roller coasters,
there you
of death?
Go.
All
proven
that stuff
true.
Is out there. All right, let's see what else he's
this
got.
This problem presents a much larger burden to the Holocaust affirming community than the denying community. Actually.
Also, Jim had issues with Fred comparing himself to the Pope. believing it to be quite distasteful.
Okay, that's just dumb.
And Fred's part of this confusion because I'm talking to him and he's telling me things that I don't even agree with. You know, I said, you know, Fred, that's not true because I've read your stuff. I've read your information.
No, that's New England.
And I've read that book, and I'm coming out with different information here. And I don't think he has read it. And I think, like you say, I think what's happened with Fred, he's living in the past. He's not updating his information to get it out to people in a correct way. So when he gets interviewed on other internet programs like we're doing here, he's telling people the same stuff. And that's why I'm concerned, because I want people to know the truth 100%, you know, of his best, as best it can be. And that's why I wanted to talk to you today about this to get the thing squared away 100%, because he still stands by what he says. He will not renege on what he says. I mean, anything. He just, this is what I say. He calls himself the Pope of the Holocaust. Like everything he says is 100% truth and you can't go against it. Like he's the Pope. Okay. I have a problem with it.
The most damning part of this conversation.
Okay, so interestingly, so here we have Jim Rizzoli and Gilmar Rudolph saying like, Leuchter makes mistakes. He won't stop making them. I'm not making judgments on this. I mean, maybe it's true. Probably, let's be honest. Probably it's true. He's made mistakes. He doubled down and he won't kind of take correction on this. But the mistake is not like the Holocaust really happened.
It doesn't debunk anything
like that. It's just like there's certain things he says and Gilmar Rudolph, all you're actually doing, Miles, is increasing Rudolph's credibility because
here's the problem,
willing
right?
to actually critique his own side, something your people won't do.
It's like the null hypothesis here is that the Holocaust happened.
Yeah. Right.
That's what seems to be going through Miles' head.
Yeah.
He can correct me if I'm wrong in my assessment, but that appears.
Right. I mean, the question is, if you're having a guy who's saying like, you know, I'm effective, like, or Rudolph doesn't like the term denier. He's a revisionist, right? Whatever. I'd say denier. I don't give a shit. I'm a Holocaust revisionist. And yeah, there's a guy that did it before me and he made some errors. I've compensated for those errors and corrected them. And then you're basically taking this guy saying that and being like, see, look, a guy that did Holocaust denial made mistakes. Like, first of all, you're increasing Rudolph's credibility because you're taking his word about Leuchter's mistakes, which would mean that his corrections are correct. The implication would be his mistakes are right. Additionally, it also shows that he's got integrity because he's critiquing his own side. He's willing to point out errors. He's willing to cop to errors made by his own side and then own them publicly and correct them. Have you ever seen the other side do this?
No.
Has Miles Power ever done this?
The other side attempts to bowl you over with like institutional social support, even easily
That's
provable.
It. That's
bias.
All it is. Yeah.
Damning part of this conversation between Gemma and Jim came when the pair discussed the Leuchter report. Now this is delicious. This is pure drama, and I'm loving this. Now, according to Gemma...
Yeah, I'm Fred loving making Gemma Rudolph have more public credibility. That's a really good fucking move. This guy, it's like,
The reason it's delicious is because this isn't going to be about the Leuchter report at all. This is going to be about Leuchter and whatever his...
Personal stuff, personal issues, yeah.
Prepare yourself in there. This is amazing. Fred Leuchter didn't write
Leuchter report.
And the next thing... Robert Francois said on the phone was, do you know that I wrote the Leuchter report? Came out of the blue and I was stunned and there was dead silence and you could hear the wheels in my head working, rotating it, the gears just, what? And then I saw these two things falling in place, these stunning errors that a technician engineer would never make in the Leuchter report. And the way of it is argued there that it's just incorrect. And then this similar way of arguing and making mistakes that I've observed during those 10 years in Robert Forreston's writing. And then this stunning admission on the phone and these things fell into place. And that's where I knew, that's how I can explain how such dreadful errors can appear in a report that's allegedly written by an engineer.
Now, next, Gemma raises an interesting point.
So basically, we already covered that. Robert Friesen put things in the report that were wrong.
Yeah, yeah.
Now he's yeah. claiming to have written the whole thing. It's like, okay.
Which is the
But okay. Now we're just like again increasing Guillermo Rudolph's credibility here. As a, thanks, Smiles, for doing that.
Yeah.
But pump up his credibility as a researcher, as you're like in an attack video against him. Good idea. But yeah.
An interesting point, which is the legality of Fred claiming under oath in a court in Toronto or whatever that he was the author of this report. This is just fraud.
No, it's fraud.
So what? I mean, but also that's a dead case that's already been decided like 32 years ago and also has nothing to do with the truth or not of whether the gas chambers are real.
It has nothing to do with anything.
If you're really butthurt about it, fine. But like, is it fraud? I mean, what about the what about the other people that testified in that trial?
Mm.
What about the pro-Holocaust people who were caught in lies testifying at that trial? Was that fraud? Because it happened. Doug Christie caught all these fucking people lying.
Is that fraud?
He caught Raoul Hilberg. He caught Rudolph Verba. He caught all these fucking people lying. Are you gonna call that fraud?
What is any of this such a technical argument about the goddamn Holocaust?
Nothing.
Right, nothing.
That's why you said
nothing.
It's delicious.
Even if we accept 100% that okay, Fred Leuchter like defrauded a Canadian court in 1988. Okay, it's 2022, guy, and we're not talking about that. We're talking about, is there fucking hydrogen cyanide in the wall?
Yeah, we're talking about Guillermo Rudolph.
And it's
also
just not. You, frankly, Miles Power, you ran straight into a fucking wall. There's no Prussian blue in it.
It's not blue.
And this is all a smokescreen for that.
Yep.
I told you, this man is a con man.
I don't know whether, legally speaking, that would be even a matter of a legally actionable situation where you put the signature under a document that you didn't write, but you claim you wrote.
What I say here, real quick, though, I have a critique of what these guys are doing, which is like, I'm sure there's like personal butthurt between them, but like,
I think that's what's going on. Yeah.
What is the fucking point of this shit? Like, frankly, like who?
Well,
yeah, I think there's personal butthurt.
This Jim Rizzoli is the guy, I believe, at least the first place I heard about it, that exposed like the Leuchter, like real estate situation. As,
yeah,
like,
again,
he's the
I don't even have an opinion on that stuff. I don't know. What
I don't know if he's making
not,
the
but
accusation,
I'll say
but
this.
It was he was hosting the talk on it, and I'm imagining that this is like the whole scene of people is like mad at Fred Leuchter. So no, this is a little bit of an attack.
Yeah, that's
him.
What's going on with this. And I would just say, like, it doesn't. Again, like this kind of thing. Even if you have these feelings, I mean, they're not going to listen to me. But my, I have just a criticism of because they're basically feeding because dumb people are going to think this matters.
This doesn't
right?
matter
like,
at all.
It doesn't
the way,
matter.
The way it
the
matters is
bit.
Like this stuff. Basically, the way this stuff matters is it gives Miles Power the out. He gets to make this
right,
video.
You're giving him,
he gets to say it's delicious because he's talking about drama. He's not talking about science.
Yeah,
we
he's
told
not
him
talking about science,
the
drawing.
Challenge
and
was the
those,
challenge was to take Guillermo Rudolph's book and Miles Power. You fashion yourself as a scientist of some kind of chemist. I can't remember exactly what is how he characterizes it. You were supposed to read this book and you're supposed to review the contents thereof, the sign, like, you were supposed to come back with a rebuttal that you don't have one. You have this.
So
and
far, all I've heard, and this is from the last time we did this, was
Richard
him making
Green,
a claim that David Irwin, you know, talking about getting things wrong, David Irwin
and Robert
was told by Richard Green,
Richard Green.
That Guillermo Rudolph's work was so bad as so as to not use it in his trial. With is a case against Deborah Lipstadt. However, that's actually I would need to check into whether or not that's true. It'd be interesting. Maybe I would ask Guillermo Rudolph about that if Irving gave him any reasons or what the reasons were. But I would suspect that the main reason he didn't was because David Irving was not actually interested in doing Holocaust denial at that trial. And I believe this is a conflict that arose.
Hmm.
Is that these guys, like Friesen and Rudolph and some people were like, okay, we're going to use this trial and we're going to get publicity for the kinds of things we're saying and such. And Irving didn't want that because he felt like that would then like shore up the accusation of him being a Holocaust denier. Because that was what he was suing her for, libel for calling him a Holocaust denier. And so there was nothing, you know, David Irving is not a technician himself either. So if he's saying this report is technically wrong, then again, that's the opinion of a historian. But it's all a smokescreen, right? All this stuff is a smokescreen.
Right.
Like the fact is, even that also doesn't matter. David Irving didn't want to use a document in his trial. Maybe that was just a dumb move on his part. What's the fucking document say, asshole? Mm.
And you testify under oath that it is mine when it isn't. Would that be fraud?
Yes, Gemma, that would be fraud. I mean, for goodness' sake, it wasn't.
Would be fraud or be like perjury? I don't know what.
Yeah, that's the question he's asking. It's like, why you don't even technical?
You don't even know what the word is for it, Miles. Yes. Yes, it would be fraud. Like, you don't know. Like, no. Lawyer Miles is here now.
It would be perjury. Perjury. Are you practicing law without a license, Miles? That's illegal.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
Isn't that lovely?
You're practicing law without a license there, buddy.
See, now he's going to do this really, really annoying thing if you let him do it now.
It's like, it wasn't that long ago where I made a video about Fred Leuter where I called him a con man.
You called him a con man because you didn't like
the
results.
So you agree with Gerard Rudolph? Like, no, you know what's funny?
He basically...
Gerard Rudolph's critique is better than yours.
Well, yeah, he doesn't have a critique. He's calling him a con man because this man denies the Holocaust. He's a con man. That's a con.
Right.
I'm Miles Power. And it's like,
what do you get out of it?
I don't know. He doesn't get any views out of it. 29,000.
What do you? What is the person making the Holocaust is fake con? What's their motivation?
He like, got his career. He got his career destroyed.
Your life destroyed. You get your company taken from you.
He showed us.
You can't get any jobs. Yeah, you get lawsuits against you. What's the reward here, Miles?
He's conning people left, right, and center. He is a con man. It's really juicy. I like this. And I guess it gets even more drama-ish now and then. This is...
Drama-ish.
What are you, a woman? Talk about the science.
Drama-ish. Yeah, drama-ish. Why are you talking about science?
Unfortunately,
you can't disprove anything.
Drama-ish.
I called him a con man for stealing.
Con man.
He's
drama-ish.
He stole brick samples.
Like, just ruin that word as much as possible. Sorry.
Interesting, shall we say. Let's talk once again. Let's get back onto Gemma, shall we? In 2020...
Well, here's my funny thing, Miles. Why is Gemma Rudolph's actual critique of Fred Leuter like just actually more substantive and better than yours? That's pretty funny.
Yeah, I don't think Gemma called him a con.
Even in that, he's a better scientist than you are.
Yeah.
Oh, here's more dreamy open lewdness and indecent exposure when he was found naked from the waist down in a children's playground in the middle of the night.
Oh, which part of that's not true?
That he didn't. He had stuff.
Well, the other thing is the middle of the night. All right, there's obviously going to be kids there.
Well, that is specifically. He explained that's specifically why he was there. It's like the early mornings. He's like doing a workout before the sun comes up.
He was doing it specifically so nobody was there. I think, right. Yeah, whatever. It's like, I don't care about this.
To protest his innocence, the Holocaust denialist community that no, this isn't the case. I wasn't found naked. This is all horrible lies to stop me from becoming an American citizen.
Absolutely is that. Like, this case wouldn't have been
pursued.
First of all,
you want to know what's funny?
Yet again, we have wandered very, very far afield from the topic of this book.
But additionally, I also want to say this. When Gerard Rudolph came on our program, he didn't say that. In fact, I said that, and he said he was hesitant to say that. He said he might have just been, like, they might have actually just been in good faith pursuing me for this because, like, the people in the community didn't like it. I don't know that it was actually a larger agenda against me. So he didn't actually say that.
Hmm. I'll say it.
And that's what he said to us.
Why don't you go help me by going on my GoFundMe page where you can help me and my defense because one day I would like to be an American. Yay. He believes, at least according to the blurb on his GoFundMe page, that he is a victim of American puritanical society and culture, and this would never happen to him if he was a woman walking around with nothing on their nether regions. And he also says that American society is putting his life at risk.
I'm still waiting for the analysis of the HCN levels.
Well, also, I want to know why...
I don't even want to watch any more of this because it's not... It's
no,
so irrelevant.
I
want to
know. Because you're going about this wrong. This is the only person engaging in alleged lewdness in a children's space that he would ever have a problem with.
That's true, too, yeah.
Anybody... If Gerard Rudolph was in that...
What if he was at a pride parade?
What if he was dressed up like a drag queen?
Yeah, if that was a drag queen event at that park, at that playground, where the proprietors are actually trying to abuse and cause sexual trauma in children, you would oppose that being shut down. You would say that only white supremacists and Nazis want to come stop them.
Well, there were actually children present with men in very skimpy, over-sexualized clothing instead of kind of like a German who wanted to exercise in a way that he thought was socially acceptable and just like didn't get, got his cultural signals crossed, basically.
Well, basically, he wanted to do his semi-nude workout in the wee morning hours when nobody was around. That means he was at the park trying to.
He had some really autistic requirements for the kind of workout outfit he had. Like, yeah, he's like, I need it to not cover my thighs because I get too hot. And everything that's made for men and exercise gear that's made for men, all shorts made for men for exercise in
are
America,
baggy, yeah,
cover your thighs. Remember when he was saying he's complaining about like spandex, like bike shorts?
Yeah.
And he's like, I can't have that. They get too hot. He's like, I need to be wearing a Speedo when I work out or to be nude. Like, that's just, I'm just autistic like that. So, yeah.
That's what he said.
It's not really so much autism. It's that if you wear cotton clothing, it sucks.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason people wear things like cycling shorts and various other things like running shorts and stuff.
Yeah, but he didn't want to hear about it. The underlying
accusation here is that he's some kind of pervert that wanted to harm children. He absolutely
There's
is
no
not.
Evidence of that.
He absolutely nor an is not. Of that. And if he ever claimed to be that, he would get a pass from people like Miles Power. But,
he's the only guy that wouldn't.
By forcing him to wear dark colors and forcing him to wear shorts that go down to the knee.
Yes, he claimed that if the bike shorts are too dark, motorists won't be able to see him riding on the bike in the dark, and it's a safety concern, which is true.
Yeah, okay, so again, even if this is kind of silly and like idiosyncratic to him, like, this has nothing to do with science. Nope. With the scientific thing. Here in Europe. Nothing to do with it.
Women have no problems finding clothes fulfilling these basic criteria. For instance, semi-sheer tank tops and skimpy shorts in flamboyant colors and patterns. But I am a man, and I refuse to commit suicide by wearing what U.S. society expects me to wear. Drab, dark-colored clothes and shorts that don't rise higher than a little over my knees.
Yeah,
my survival during those early morning hours outdoors...
Like, again...
I like this part about
on wearing clothes that many people don't tolerate on a man. They irrationally associate colors with sexual orientation or even perversion. They call the police, who in turn press trumped-up charges of open lewdness and indecent exposure because they don't want males with short, neon-colored clothes working out outdoors in their neighborhood.
What's really funny is like how libtarded this argument actually is. Like, why don't you just agree with him, Miles?
You should agree with him because what he's talking about is some kind of clash between European culture and American culture.
Yeah,
right.
That's exactly what he said.
Like, they wear like really bright colored, gaudy, like, stupid looking clothing in Germany. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah. Earlier, we looked at that little clip of the Tour de France, and the rider was in hot pink.
Yeah.
With TMEF. Look, that's
and I don't,
not an uncommon color.
I don't. Right now, I'm wearing a black polo shirt and black shorts. I don't deny that I am subjected to this American prejudice that males should wear dark clothing and not wear flannel. I don't have any. This is my culture. I'm not ashamed of it. But I also understand that in Germany they wear like retarded looking
American
like neon
culture
shit
associates even the color pink. It's associated with femininity because of a first lady in the United States. It's completely incidental that this happened.
Actually, pink used to be. I'm not going to even go into whatever. It doesn't matter. Pink used to be like considered like an aristocratic color. But but also then they also wear like these neon greens and shit. It's just actually associated with being ugly as fuck.
Germans also are just like, you know how like you go to the beach in like France and there's like topless beaches? Well, the Germans respond with like in their Speedos. It's just how these people
are. In Germany, they are much more tolerant. I'll
be honest, some of their color choices are, they're a little loud, a little hard.
It's not what I would go for.
US.
But again, it's also not like the end of the world
to be around this shit.
Well, it doesn't.
What I was saying is I think Grandma Rudolph should put on a hot pink Speedo and walk around Auschwitz with like a chisel and like a notepad and like, you know, take chemical samples.
It's a good idea.
Just like flex like that. You know, just the absolute flex. Like, yeah, I'm like chiseling away at the wall here. Just, yeah, I've got wearing a hot pink Speedo. Which one of these is more illegal?
Ah, shit.
Women can wear sexy, vibrantly colored clothes. Men can do so only at the risk of being harassed.
Why did Miles read this himself?
I don't know. He's got this girl with like an extremely noisy like ASMR mouth.
Him. That's probably him. He ran it through some kind of vocal process.
No, it's Danielle. She's down here in the bottom.
Oh, God. Is he trying to prove that he knows a girl?
I guess.
Gemma also uploaded a video to his GoFundMe page where he explains that it was impossible for the arresting officer to see his love length because there was a playground in the way and it would stop him from...
And it says not footage, not creepy at all. What's creepy about he's trying to exonerate himself from the charge? He's taking...
That is actually not creepy at all.
There's nothing creepy about... There's nothing creepy about shooting video of the playground that was the scene of your arrest that you're disputing when you're not a pervert. Like, people like you. Not creepy. It wouldn't be... If there was a bunch of drag queens, again, dancing around this playground, reading books to small children and their libtarded mothers, would that be creepy? Or would you defend
and,
that?
And people started
filming. We are so far beyond that. No. They would be reading books. They would be having a prosthetic penis. They would be inserting stuff, some like prosthetic vagina. And the kid would be like grabbing a hold of the prosthetic junk.
Yeah,
playing
I'm going to be looking for the rest of the videos in the Miles Power, like, puritanical Anglo-British-American sensibility line of videos.
I got
where
it.
He will next talk about that Texas gay bar drag queen story. I expect to hear a scathing critique of that.
That's where Guillermo fucked up. There should have been like a bunch of toddlers sticking dollar bills into his pink shorts.
Okay, all right.
I mean then Miles Power would have no choice but to defend him in his alternative lifestyle choices and his willingness to educate people's children about them.
From looking and seeing his tallywhacker. Yeah, that's the argument that he actually gives. And he also says, I wasn't naked, anyone. I wasn't naked at all. I was wearing a pair of very, very skimpy German running shorts. And he was kind enough to upload a picture for us all to just... Mm. Now, the reason why I bring attention to Gemma's open lewdness and indecent exposure...
is because I don't have an argument against any of his work.
Yeah, there you go. Very good.
That's all I wanted to say.
But the other thing is, if that's indecent exposure, why are you showing it on your video?
Okay, well, hold up. What is his reason here? Let's see.
I know.
I'll tell you what it is. But
no, he's going to tell me what it is because Sven's going to hit play, and then he's going to actually tell me.
Look at. Now, the reason why I bring attention to Gemma's open lewdness and indecent exposure is not just because it's hilarious. Yes, it is really quite funny. But because it's the perfect example of how revisionists or Holocaust denialists, whatever you want to call them, construct their argument. They like to get bogged down in the minutiae whilst ignoring the bigger picture.
I knew he was going to say this. I read his script for this video, but so question is...
Okay, what's the big picture here?
What is the big picture?
The big picture is, Guillermo Yurov, you're a bad man, and we found a reason to call you a bad man, because you're a good scientist.
But did he get bogged down in the minutiae when he's criticizing the Leuchter report?
That's very true.
Possibly, actually.
That is a really good question.
But apparently he likes that minutiae.
Well, he found errors that he thought were egregious that proved to him that no engineer could have written this.
Interestingly enough, these errors were not found by Miles Power when he did his critique of the Leuchter report.
No.
Why didn't you find these errors, Miles?
No, you made... all he talked about... Again, Miles Power just talked about his underpants. Miles Power does not know how to...
He's talking about Fred Leuchter's underwear, too. Yeah. That's very interesting.
That's all he talks about
is underpants.
He
seems to be focusing on this. So the question being, Miles, why is it that Guillermo Rudolph actually copped to errors in the Leuchter report that he had found, yet you supposedly did a debunking of the Leuchter report and you didn't find these errors? You just talked about
underpants.
Underwear. Yeah.
Very interesting.
Huh. Weird. Strange. It's almost like Gemma Rudolph's a better scientist than you are.
Is he related to like the people who own Victoria's Secret? What's that guy's name?
That Lex Wessner?
Maybe he's related.
No,
maybe
Miles
he's paid
isn't
by?
Jewish.
He maybe he's paid by Lex Wessner. Like he's like always like he's like whenever you can bring steer the conversation back around to underwear. We'll talk about underwear on your show.
Maybe that's a sponsor. His actual sponsor. Well, I think Victoria's Secret is like a major sponsor of like the Holocaust Museum. I guarantee it's true.
So I think this goes with what you said, Alex, about the null hypothesis being that the Holocaust happened. That's the big picture he's talking about. When you get down in the minutiae, you usually say, look, the Holocaust happened, okay? Doesn't matter how, and it doesn't matter if what errors are made. You have to give into that And all this other stuff is just window dressing. You're not allowed to talk about it. So, right.
Well, let me give you an example. Okay, so the Holocaust, there's a story they tell about how this happened. One of the key parts of that story is they had holes in the roof of this concrete reinforced ceiling. And through those holes, they had columns that were secured to these concrete reinforced ceilings and the floors. And they dropped the gas pellets in there, and they killed the people, and then they used some mechanism inside the column to pull the gas pellets out. Okay, that's the story they tell. Now, if there's a problem with the – if in fact those holes in the roof don't exist,
mm-hmm.
I don't think you can say that's like missing the forest for the trees.
Right.
Because what basically we're now looking at something that is – it's just impossible. Now that it is not physically possible for this to have happened in this location, what you're telling me can't have happened. That is not minutiae. The holes in the ceiling, we're not even getting into the chemical composition of the walls, because he does talk about the holes in the ceiling pretty extensively in this book, actually. There's a lot of detailed analysis of this issue.
Let's just be kind of clear about what we're talking about, like what our hypothesis is here.
Well, the
like,
whole
what's the big picture?
The holes in the ceiling.
Yeah, what is it? I want him to tell me, actually.
That's that it happened, and, like, everything you say, you're just being mean. I mean, I don't know. Like, you're just... Because the holes in the ceiling, those were extensively, in detail, testified to. I don't remember by who, Rudolph has that in the video.
Well, it's an integral part of their story.
Yeah.
They weren't... I don't think Rudolph Hess testified to that. Like, very few people testified to it. But it's... You know, there were some people that did. Michael Kula... And Henrik Tauber are two that I can think of, but the point is that even though it's actually an integral part of the story, even though very few people testify to it, which is another interesting thing. I don't believe that Rudolf Höss ever testified at all to any mechanism of how this happened, and in fact said he didn't know because he never saw it, which is what they all said. So, but the problem is, it's like if what you're telling me, if the story you're telling me mm-hmm. is what happened. You can't say maybe they didn't do it this way, maybe they did another way, because now you're just making shit up.
Yeah.
And how would I falsify your hypothesis if you just change the terms every time?
Right. If Robert Friesen, whatever else you want to say about him, maybe the aphorism "no holes, no Holocaust." It's like, well, the problem is you still haven't beaten that argument. You still have not beaten that argument. There's no holes. That's just minutiae. And they start saying, well, maybe they could have been covered up this way, maybe, but they weren't.
They weren't, though.
There's no evidence of that. There's no evidence of that either. There's no evidence of second post-construction holes being poked in these concrete reinforced ceilings at all. None.
There's evidence of post-dynamiting holes being post-controversy holes being poked by ne'er-do-wells. But the holes, even those holes aren't big enough for what was testified to have been under them, those columns.
Yeah, and they also have rebar running through them, which would have defeated the purpose.
And there's falsified photographic evidence of it. Ballpoint pen.
Yeah.
Dots drawn on these structures, as I recall. And again, that's just minutiae, right?
Yeah, the dots they claim were holes would have been like scale would have been like 5 feet by 5 feet.
But that's minutiae.
Yeah.
That disproves disproves my little story, so it's minutiae. And, you know, if I'm not naked, I'm actually wearing Speedos. That's not minutiae.
Actually relevant. Like, actually wearing underwear. You just can't see it. It's, you know, it's not minutiae.
It's dark and there's nobody around. A nice stern, like, if you come back here and do this again, I'm going to arrest you. But probably it all would have taken.
How revisionists or Holocaust denialists, whatever you want to call them, construct their argument.
You mean Holocaust debunkers? Let's face it. That's what it is. The Holocaust is a big conspiracy and these people debunked it. It's been debunked.
Well, again, without like necessarily saying it's a great thing for, you know, whatever. I don't even care about the fucking Speedos. But if you say like you're naked and you're like, no, I was wearing Speedo, it's not really minutiae. It's actually just a direct refutation. Yeah.
Whatever you want to call them, construct their argument. They like to get bogged down in the minutiae whilst ignoring the bigger picture. Here, Gemma's entire argument focuses around the arresting officer unable to see his tallywhackle because there's a children's playground in the way, and he is purposely ignoring certain things about the case to try and convince people and GoFundMe.
Wait, what are those things though?
What's he ignoring? He's ignoring that he's a second-class citizen and has no rights because he's a Holocaust denier? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of that he's ignoring.
I mean, I don't even like taking up this argument because I actually think this issue, just nothing personal, was kind of poorly handled by Grandma Rudolph in terms of a number of things. But again, so what?
Again,
the thing is, he's not actually again, it's really funny, and even in this instance, he can't even tell you. He cannot tell you what are those things that are being ignored. If they were so obvious, then you should be able to tell us. But in fact, if the accusation is you're naked, and he says, you couldn't see that because you couldn't see me because I was behind a playground, also I wasn't naked, that's not minutiae.
No, that's a refutation.
This is just a counter-argument.
Money, and at the moment, they've given him about $13,000. So what is he ignoring? He's ignoring the fact that the arresting officer testified that he saw his willy. He's ignoring the fact that when he was originally arrested...
So cops don't lie now? I thought cops always lie and make things up, and they only care about arrests and entrapping victims.
I don't think by saying that's not true, he's ignoring witness, it.
Yeah, hold on. Anytime a witness says something, it's just true.
Yeah, he's not... Well...
Floors were electrified, by the way.
Well, he testified seeing his... It was like, hey, all right, and Garmar says, no, he didn't. It's impossible because this would have obstructed your view. You're lying. I mean, that's...
So he's not ignoring that issue.
He's not ignoring it. He's refuting it.
He's responding to it.
He's responding to it and saying... And then posting evidence, like, see, this would have been in the way.
Ignoring the fact that the arresting officer testified that he saw his willy. He's ignoring the fact that when he was originally arrested, he said, oh, you know, in Germany... We like to do exercise naked. That's a terrible accent. I'm not going to do that again. He said that, essentially. I'm paraphrasing.
Does that mean he was naked?
Does that mean there was no... Does that mean there was Prussian blue in the walls?
So 6 million Jews were burned to a crisp with no trace because this guy...
Did that statement to the officer, arresting officer, put holes in that ceiling? No.
It doesn't mention that his initial defense... was that this arresting officer just caught him changing and he just happened to have his cock in hand when he was getting changed. He ignores that.
No, his cock was in his hand? His cock was in his hand. That's never been alleged. That's never
been
alleged.
Yeah, where was that? I want to know where you got that from. Again, like I said.
Again, this is the only child sex offender that Miles Power wouldn't defend.
But there's no allegation of child
sex. I know, I'm just saying, like, if... just allegate, like, in theory, like, anyone else would be like...
There's not even an allegation, frankly, from my understanding, of someone who is a victim of this indecent exposure other than the cop himself.
Right.
People.
Miles, I feel like
does Miles Low Power have anything to tank here at all?
I feel like we're just getting baited into even discussing this. Like,
no, I'm just...
People
I'm putting
in
this
our
up
audience are free to
actually I'm not afraid
disapprove.
Of this. I'm not afraid of this.
I'm not afraid of it either.
Just tell Miles Power. I'm trying to tell Miles Power you need to do better than this. You need to do a review,
you have
a review
to do
of the book.
You're not even actually good at this.
You're not getting out of it with this. You're not getting out of it. We can deal with these people's personal faults. You have to deal with the fact that it doesn't refute any of the data.
Nor is it actually an example of like the kinds of bad arguments that Holocaust people use. And in fact, even that argument attempting to make it is failing, saying like, yeah. And so, yeah, and people in our audience are also free to disapprove of Gilmar Rudolph's personal behavior here or his personal fashion choices or whatever. I don't really care. None of his data has actually been refuted or even fucking addressed.
Nope.
Period.
To tell people
period.
That when he was arrested that night, he had a bottle of baby oil, oh my, in his possession. And he also doesn't tell people that in 2014, he was banned from the park for a similar incident. He was in the buff again. All this... doesn't get mentioned. So what am I saying? I'm basically saying cyanide-based residues on the wall of the gas chambers are not the only evidence we have that mass gassings took place during the...
Well, you don't have that evidence at all.
Okay, what's the other evidence?
It's not that you don't have the evidence. Okay, you don't have that evidence.
First of all,
there's none.
Don't have that evidence.
There's no evidence at all.
I think what he maybe meant to say, to be charitable, which is no reason to be because he's not, is there is other like this since we don't have that evidence, there are other things that we do have. But I'll be very eager to hear this.
I don't think Miles Power understands how devastating that this issue is. Alex, do you remember that report you pulled up in like 2019? Some guy wrote an entire like thesis theorizing of like a zinc-rich ventilation system
like
that
zinc,
doesn't
zinc-based ducts or something. Which might, no evidence of that.
It might have might have absorbed all of the. It's like, but that
he was trying. What he was explaining was why the disinfestation chambers have blue everywhere.
Right.
Like what would be, because they're trying to they're racking their brains trying to come up with something that's fundamentally different about two buildings constructed at the same time in the same materials, one saturated with hydrogen cyanide residue and one without any, other than the fact that one was hydrogen cyanide was used there and one it wasn't.
Right.
Like they're, you know what I mean? Like this they're trying to find.
It's like O.J. Simpson writing a book about how conceivably, plausibly, someone else could have done this. Here's how they could have perhaps done it.
Yeah, I mean, it's like choose your own. But it's like, just like it's, again, it's choose point, your own zinc but the point, oxide ductwork.
The point I wanted to make to Miles Power, I don't think Miles Power realizes like they're still trying to paper over this and try to find a way to prop it up because it's devastating. It might as well be the only evidence because there isn't any. It's one of the biggest sticking points
this,
about this.
Why is this
like if you've got you? Like if you've got this guy is theorizing a ventilation system that doesn't exist. It's not in any manifest. It wasn't in the building. There was no zinc-rich metallic ventilation system in the gas chambers in Crema 2, Crema 3, Crema 4, Crema 5. Like, it's not there. This guy made up a thing that maybe if this existed, it would explain. It's like, yeah, well, it doesn't explain it. They're still struggling with this, Miles Power. You are in over your head. That's why you talk about underpants.
Right. Why is it we're only getting to, what, minute 20 before you even say anything like this? Now, the other thing is this, that...
because the obvious trick is, like, now that you're laughing at him in the picture of his Speedo, now you can't possibly believe anything he's ever done.
Yeah, now you get the cursory, like, don't worry, there's other evidence.
There's no
other
evidence.
Let's keep going, see what he says.
Well, it's over now, so...
Holocaust. That's what I'm getting at. But you know what? More on that next time, when I finally get round to reviewing this god-awful, boring book. It's a bit dull.
Boring, yes. I'll agree with that.
It's highly technical.
It's a technical book, so it's boring. But yeah.
I thought you would like that kind of thing, though.
A bit dry.
Okay, it's dry again.
Of course, it's dry.
It's a bit dull. It's a bit dry. No spoilers, but I'll get to it soon. Right, so I'm going to go.
No spoilers. Take care, Internet. You get to it soon? Really? When? How long is it going to take, buddy? I'll be waiting.
What's going
to
be in it? It's just going to be the green stuff, right?
Yeah. He alluded to this. He talked about Richard Green, and he alluded to at the very end there when he said this is not the only evidence we have. And I'm like, okay, but you don't have it, though.
Right.
So just we need to acknowledge this. It's not the only evidence that you have. It's that you don't have this evidence. So you have to say there's something else. But what Richard Green's argument is that, like, it is – fundamentally, his point is, and there's some technical stuff that goes into it, that it's actually just a mistake to even look at this issue at all, which is a similar to what the Polish team, Dr. Jan Markowitz and his team, that actually neglected to test this issue in their technical, like when they went and they tested the walls of the gas chamber for hydrogen cyanide residue, they neglected to test the walls of the disinfestation chambers, and their excuse was, we don't know how that could have gotten there, and we don't think that there's any possibility that that actually could be hydrogen cyanide, so let's not test it. And then Richard Green's argument is essentially a defense of this, a defense of this methodology, a defense of not finding out the information. Because he basically for a reason saying like it's actually not a relevant issue, but that's not that's not the issue. The issue is we have a factual question, which is, does claim that hydrogen cyanide residue was used in a building? Here we have a building where nobody disputes that it was used, and we have these conditions present.
Right.
Are similar conditions present in this other building where it is disputed? No, they are not. Okay. This is a severe blow to your Holocaust narrative. It's not minutiae. It's a big problem. And that's why you have to resort to fucking like really convoluted, because none of the arguments they make are actually technical in nature. They're logic puzzles. Like Richard Green spins like a logic pretzel. And I read this section of on this in the Chemistry of Absurds, where he says what Richard Green does, he says Richard Green makes some occasions which are important to note. He agrees that all witnesses testify to short execution times. There's other stuff. He says he agrees that Rudolph is correct or nearly correct regarding the formation of blue staining the delousing chambers. So Green, Richard Green agrees with him. There's others that don't. This is what he does challenge, though, is a possibility of formation of any noticeable quantities of iron blue in the gas chamber. So it says, so basically, the question would be, well, what you're saying that it's pointless to look for it because it would have been impossible for it to form there. Well, that doesn't make any sense. And Richard Green does some of Choose Your Own Holocaust too, where he says, one thing he really says is, he says, Dr. Green argues with me that the iron blue found in delousing chambers is the result of gassings with hydrogen cyanide. Hence, he disagrees with the opinion of Markowitz and others that this iron blue might have had its origin in residual paint. Again, that's something they didn't test. They just said it. However, Green comes up with his own auxiliary hypothesis to shore up his ongoing defense of the Krakow fraud. He conceives a scenario during which items soaked with aqueous solutions of HCN were leaned against these walls, thus causing the formation of the blue stains. This is from Green, 2001, page 18. To achieve the disinfestation, personnel at Auschwitz had to throw Zyklon B into water, then using the solution thusly treated at the peril of their lives to stoke lice-infested clothes or mattresses, which were then leaned against walls. Such highly risky and impractical procedure is not mentioned anywhere in the literature. Mm-hmm. And to my knowledge, there aren't any witness claims to that effect either. So yeah, choose your own Holocaust. What's the difference? Again, it's another, here's something I could maybe conceive of happening, even though I've got no evidence of it happening.
Another hypothetical with no evidence.
But the funny thing is, not only that, we do have evidence of them using them for delousing chambers, like the delousing mechanisms, the machines they use are instilled in some of these buildings, or they were there and were removed, or they're known to have been there.
They replaced them with microwaves eventually, didn't they? Some kind of microwave delousing
machine. At some point, those were in a different facility, but at some point those buildings fell out of use because they were using a microwave delouser. And interestingly enough, right around exactly the time when the gassings magically stopped. Right at the time when they started using a different delousing method is when they say, oh, we don't have any more evidence of gassings after this period. Oh, really? Or because you can't sustain them with a large presence of hydrogen cyanide at the camp. That's why, right? Because they stopped ordering it at that point. Mm. So,
yeah. This is a common sloppy thing people do, is inserting a hypothetical and then hoping that you don't notice that they're now pretending it's actual evidence. You can use the same kind of reasoning to say that Jesus was Scottish and he had a kilt.
it's what we've always called. No, choose your own Holocaust is not an acceptable refutation of things that refute the actual when the actual claims are refuted. You don't get to say no. Well, it could have done it like this. No, because then no one said that.
Why did you say it in the first place? This is the only issue which that's acceptable discourse.
Yeah, that's scientific.
You can make stuff up all you want. Like, talk about getting lost in minutiae. It's like you're getting lost in your imagination.
Yeah. Why is that not good? If it's such minutiae, why does Richard Green have to come up with a bullshit counter hypothesis soaking mattresses in liquid, which is I'm not even a chemist and that sounds retarded to me, but apparently chemically that's also really stupid to even think about doing, both in terms of safety and just feasibility.
He said it was grossly inefficient and at risk, great risk to their lives.
That's what Rudolph said.
I thought that was Rudolph
adding the editorializing. In other words, emphasizing how stupid this would be. But the other thing is, you have the HCN pellets, right? You have these present in Auschwitz. You also have the instruction books, the extensive instruction manuals from the manufacturers on how to use this properly. It does not say dip this in water. Soak these pellets in water to get that aqueous solution and then dip stuff in it and then hang it out to dry. That's not in the instruction manual
Like open the can, dump the stuff around?
Whatever the instructions, there's plenty of instructions. The instruction manual, actually, you can read it if you want. It's in Jacques Prussac's book. Jacques Prussac? Yeah,
isn't it Jean-Claude Van Prussac?
Yeah, Jean-Claude Van Sac.
All right. Well, let's get out of here. I have a bit of editing to do now. We'll, what's happening tomorrow?
We're cutting out the pictures of the boy shorts or what?
You know, that's not a bad idea. No, I'll leave that up. I'm not embarrassed by that. That does not deter.
It doesn't deter me in the You know, like, I'm going to power right through that.
It's like, I'm not
out the part where I mentioned my social security number.
No, we're gonna cut out where I lost my temper for no reason.
No, that's fine.
This content is too important for that to be in there. I should get over myself every once in a while.
Well, right, because when Miles responds to the video, he'll be like, "Look, this guy can't even keep it together."
It's true.
Like, yeah, no, that's just true.
I'm just forehead vein guy when we do this stuff. I love this stuff, so I'm gonna cut that out. Yeah. So this episode's probably
if you
late.
Want to, you know, I don't think it's necessary, but that's fine.
Well, it doesn't make you look bad. Well, it makes us look bad, I think. I'll just take it out. It's fine.
Now you have to take out this conversation, too.
I'll leave this in here so the audience will feel robbed of a Sven meltdown.
Well, you leave this in here to give Miles Power content for his next video.
Svelte.
They caught something out!
My message to Miles Power is just imagine that you were an alien and you came to Earth and you're writing a history of human conflict. Would you conclude that the Holocaust actually happened, or would you think that there's reason to suspect this is just part of some kind of propaganda operation, considering that we see this sort of trend all the time, and also considering that, yes, there are tend to be prison camps during conflicts, and yes, prisoners end up having disease outbreaks, and they end up dying in mass. This does tend to happen. That's probable. Mm. However, engineered 6 million people being genocided and then vaporized. Nah, that sounds a lot like propaganda, dude.
Well, I would say even like this, if you were an alien that came to Earth and you were looking at like the history of World War II or something, and you didn't look at any propaganda from either side, you could look at sort of the physical remains of the war. Would you even conceive of the Holocaust based on what you see, on what you just see look at and examine at Auschwitz and throughout the rest of the German occupied territories? Would you conclude anything close to the Holocaust?
I say, no. If you were going to come to Earth and you were an alien, you would be an anti-Semite. That's what would happen.
Always give your best. Never get discouraged. Never be petty. Always remember. Others may be. Those who hate you don't hate you unless you hate them. Then you destroy yourself.